It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother 23 Roundtable Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I'm here today to talk about everything going on the feeds this week. Of course, with me today is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I am great. I'm glad to be back. I was sad to miss last week, but you know what? It's a new week. It's a new day. And don't ask me about Stockwatch. Let's throw that out there.
What about Stockwatch?
It's just a new strategy I'm trying out where I just start later than everyone else. And just, it's going really great.
The previous right now, one really got to your head and you're really
strategy. I won, but like, I need to do something different. Let's just like wing it, I think. So yeah. Mm.
All right.
Yeah. I literally was like, oh, I have to do that today. Oh, I should have done it 3 hours ago. So not great.
All right. Well, also joining us here tonight is Jacob Jones. How are you doing, Jacob?
I'm doing good. I'm excited. This is my first year actually participating in the Stockwatch. So not doing too hot, but I feel like I'm doing good just for a first timer. And even the events of today, I feel like may affect my ratings of what happened all today going into this. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, because what a week here in Big Brother 23. As the, again, sort of like all of the work from last week that we talked about with Tiffany placing the target on Brent really came to fruition here. Brent, the house target, Brent looking like he's going to be going home. And that is pretty set in stone, although there's plenty to be entertained with that as well. But most of the gameplay this week is focused around next week. And then, you know, the weeks after that as well, to a degree. But they're definitely playing a week ahead in this game, in this house. And even just today, there was a ton of nonstop gaming from every corner of the stratosphere in this place. That it starts over here with the queens, and then it travels over to the kings, and then the aces start talking, and the aces start making their moves, and then we're hearing from the jokers, and they're all having their own different ideas of where things are going to go. And and that was just today. I mean, this is just a preview for tomorrow's live feed update. The week on the whole is so all over the place, Melissa.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I have to say, I'm so surprised that this whole, like, let's get Frenchie out, let's get Brent out plan has, like, worked so swimmingly. I feel like under any other normal season, it would have been like, okay, we finally recognize that the target should be Brent, and then Brent wins HOH, and now we're all just going to turn on each other and everything's going to go wrong. Like, that's literally what I was expecting to happen. And it's just been like, okay, yeah, we're going to get Brent out, we're going to blindside him, and we're all going to want him out. Like, there's, I honestly, like, it just feels so odd to me, because under any, like, normal Big Brother season, like, Whitney Christian and Alyssa would have like banded together with Brent and been like, we're not getting out, Brent. You guys like, you know, can, you know, suck it or whatever. Like, we're going to do our own thing. And they would have like protected him, and there would have been a whole like big giant like slaughterhouse alliance, and that would have just like steamrolled to the end. It just feels so weird to me to be watching a season that's not that. It just feels so like fresh and new, and it's like I don't know what to expect. Like, yes, obviously this is kind of like I'm hearing people be like, Big Brother 23 is so boring. It's so boring. Nothing's happening. It's like, no, like, this is great. These are actual gamers. We don't have like one person running the show. We don't know who's going to pull ahead next week. I mean, everybody's gaming on a crazy level. Even the people who you're like, oh, they're not really doing that much are still gaming. Like, they're still like going for it. They're not just, you know, following blindly behind some leader. And it's very, yes, obviously this week is not maybe necessarily thrilling in terms of the sense that, like, yes, we know that Brent is probably going to leave and that's probably going to happen, but there's so much going on elsewise that it's still so interesting to me. So yeah, the people who are saying that this is a boring season already, they're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, genuinely, I think that what we're looking at is that you know, Thursdays have been kind of slow, but Fridays have been very exciting because there have been meetings and stuff like that. But, you know, the first week was exciting because Frenchie was all over the place. He was going back and forth. And it was for like immediate decisions. So there was like a clock on it. Now, the back and forth that's happening now, it's the same thing, but there's not as much of a clock on it. And I think that's the biggest difference, where basically like all of the back and forth about like, is this person going to be nominated or is this person going to be nominated? It's happening starting Sunday into Monday into Tuesday. Like the Friday, the Thursday, Friday pre-noms, you know, talk is being extremely expanded, for like days and days and days prior. And that's always the best part. And I think it's something that like you're just not quite as used to, because typically people do wait until you know, the last minute, until the person wins or whatever, and then okay, you know, Thursday or Friday we'll talk about who's going to be nominated, and for a couple of hours we'll go back and forth and then we'll make a decision. Instead, it's okay, so about 5 or 6 days out before an HOH even wins the HOH, we are competing to see who are we allowing to win who is going to be going for HOH, and then if so, what's going to happen once we do win HOH or this person wins HOH. And it's going, the target is shifting and maneuvering all over the place, left and right. It's not stopping. These people do not take any breaks, Jacob Jones. They just keep going.
No, I love it. I feel like last week with Frenchie being on the block, we kind of knew that Brent was going to be the next target. But with this week, it's kind of so many names being thrown out there. It's not just one person being the sole house target. And I love that just for gameplay. And I feel like people, to Melissa's point, to the people that necessarily didn't have any agency or, you know, weren't like a major entity in this game, they're still throwing out names, they're still throwing out scenarios and still being intricate in the game talk that's going on. And I, for one, am super excited. I like are this person throwing HOH? I'm going to try to convince this person to win HOH. It's very stressful for me because I'm just like, I don't know what the hell is going on. But that's the excitement of Big Brother, and we're in week 3, and I'm excited to not know what the hell will be going on going into the HOH. And so it's all lovely for me. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. It's a very exciting week, and I'm curious to see how much this will eventually translate to last minute decisions, because those are inherently going to be more like short-term exciting, because when, you know, it's one thing to watch somebody try to dismantle a bomb when there's like 24 hours left on the bomb. Like, it could still explode at any moment, but it's not quite the same as watching them do it with 5 seconds left. And that's probably the primary difference between like right before nominations or right before the veto ceremony or right before the vote. Things are shifting, and oh man, now we don't know what's going to happen. It's the same thing. It's just they're doing it a little bit in advance. And I'm definitely curious to see how much things will shift once people do get into power and these decisions are having to be made, I think that we may see some things be a little bit more up in the air moving into next week as, you know, the decisions actually have to start being made, because you're right. Like, these were very, very easy and obvious decisions to go Frenchy, to go Brent. But the next moves are not quite as focused, as easy. So, it's gonna be interesting, Melissa.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I really don't know what the next move is going to be. I mean, it really, it's one of those weeks where I do think it really depends on like who wins HOH, like what they want to do individually. Like, usually there's some sort of like house consensus, like we're going to move in this direction. But I do think there's like splintering here where people want to do different things. And it really just comes down to what happens on Thursday, you know? So I'm really excited to see what happens for sure. I think that the best move is to get out a king, just because they're going to be like the lone remaining foursome. And I think that it is going to be too late at a certain point. And I know this has been discussed like ad nauseum, like, is it too early? Is it too late? Whatever. But like, I do think that you should make sure that teams stay even, because the second they outnumber you, you're screwed. So I really do think that that's an important thing to think about. And it concerns me that people are, you know, kind of saying, it's too early, it's too early. When that's usually never the case in Big Brother, it's usually never too early. And I know they say all they want, like, it's too early to game, it's too early to do this and that, but like, it never really is. It's just an excuse.
Mm-hmm. And even, I feel like, even a testament of how crazy this week is, and I feel like since the last roundtable, so we had Wednesday episode, Thursday episode, and then we had Sunday's episode, I've been enjoying the episodes a lot more. It's just been more funnier. I feel like they've just been adding a different, more layer of, we actually get to see what's going on for like live feed watchers. It sometimes can be annoying once we know things, but they don't show it. And so I've been even enjoying the episodes, which is crazy to me, because I typically don't really watch like the Sunday or Wednesday episodes. I just stick to the live evictions. And so it's been really exciting for me. And I do agree with Melissa that the kings need to be broken up, and people are in the house saying, oh, this is too early, this is too early. But it's also some pushback to those people that's saying like, no, I think it's time. And so it still creates that juggling effect of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the Sunday episode in particular was a good one, where they really caught us up on a lot of the stuff that I felt like they missed in the previous week. Mm-hmm. And I hope that trend continues, because it does seem like they are struggling to keep up with the gameplay, right? And it's also like the episodes in particular are very focused on the current week's events. You know, when it was Frenchy on the block, nobody was talking about Frenchy because he was already out of the game to them, and they were all talking about next week. But in the episodes, they focused entirely on Frenchy and his flight, despite the fact that it was basically irrelevant for the entire week. So what I'm hoping is that obviously we need to see Brent and his plight, because we will talk about what's going on with Brent. But I do hope that they're also going to show us much more of what's happening outside of Brent this week, because there is so much going on, and it feels like they've already played half of a season in 2 weeks. Yes. And you know, according to the episodes, they've barely started, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. And I think we're running into a similar like BB Can 6 problem, where it's like, we're getting all this complex gameplay where it's just so much is going on, and there's all these intertwined relationships and alliances and this and that. And we're, the feeds watchers are seeing it and being like, wow, what an amazing season. Look at all this. But the editors need to create an easily digestible narrative for their episodes. And so we have a situation where they're like, okay, but here's the thing, is this week needs to conclude with Frenchy leaving the house. So all of this other stuff that's really interesting to the feeds watchers and that we can all understand, like, doesn't really affect Frenchy leaving. And the conclusion is Frenchy is going to leave the house. So we need to present a narrative that explains why Frenchy is leaving the house this week. And so they go through the small little things where it's like, okay, this is why he's leaving. This is what he tries to do to stay. This is what Brittany tries to do to stay. It's like they have to do, I feel like they're stuck in like an old format where like, I do feel like maybe they should try and like keep up with the times and kind of show really like that there is more complex strategy going on underneath. I feel like my parents, like they watch the show and I'm like sitting here on the phone with them like, oh my God, oh, this is going on, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, wait, I didn't see any of that in the episode. What? Like, I thought this was kind of like a straightforward season so far. And it's hard because it's like, they're just not seeing how great this season is. They're kind of just like, well, it's simple. Frenchie played too hard and now Frenchie's gone and Brent was his second in command. And now Brent's going to be like, you know, it makes sense in the narrative, but it's not interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think that it's definitely, I've seen people talk about it in comparison to Big Brother Canada 6. I do think that luckily, even though I do feel like the U.S. editors are struggling to keep up this season, and they have in the past, but maybe not to quite this degree. But at the very least, the U.S. editors are much less prone to just fabricating something when they don't have it. Like when they do have to sort of cheat and cut a conversation a certain way, they usually do it in a way that at least represents the spirit of what's going on. So like they're giving Tiffany a lot of credit for things, whether or not she did those specific things, she is doing a lot. So we're seeing that, oh, Tiffany is doing a lot. Even though they can't really explain the extent to which it's going on, they're still giving us that. They're not pretending that like that Brittany is a master, right? Like
it's like the ultimate
what we get in Big Brother Canada.
The ultimate feeling, or the ultimate feeling behind it, is what is happening. But it's not. It's like the way they're getting there is different. Like it's like you watch the episode and you're like, oh, Tiffany's a mastermind because of like her DRs and things like that. But they're not showing exactly why we think she's a smart player or anything like that, or what exactly is doing that. But they are getting the ultimate feeling that like, oh, Tiffany's good, you know? And like, I feel like at least there's that, but I'd much prefer that over them like crafting some narrative about like one thing that Brittany said saved her. And it's this whole thing, you know? So at least there's that. But yeah. Like in the chat, Emery is saying the sentiment is right. And that is true. It's the sentiment behind it. That's what you're, you know, that's accurate, but the actual like narrative is a little, you know, a little iffy.
And that's honestly the point that you made about the DRs. That's honestly one of the main reasons why I watch Sunday and Wednesday's episodes, is to get that DR segment, because I know how Big Brother typically, you know, runs their show. And I know I won't really get that much out of just the screen time of, you know, the 84 cameras and the 100 microphones or whatever the number is, just through the explicit lens of the people being in the house. And I know that the DR will give us an extra layer that will probably coincide with how we actually think as live feeders, people who actually know what's going on to the audience. And so that's what I mainly like about it.
All right. Well, let's talk through some of what's been going on since the last roundtable we did. Of course, last week we had Frenchie and Brittany on the block, and things were moving toward a Brent house target situation. Obviously, nothing really changed by the end of last week. Things did slow down a bit there, but we saw eventually that Derek and Hannah, as we saw in the episode, threw the competition. Xavier, I do not think meant to win, although just today he did express that he is now happy that he did. So Xavier wins the HOH. He is going to go through with targeting Brent as the house intended to do. He's going to put Brittany up as a pawn after all of that wild card shenanigans that we've talked about in the episode recaps. But basically what happened there is that because Xavier needed, basically, as soon as Xavier won, he couldn't nominate his team. Alyssa, Christian, and Sarah Beth all default safe, none of which are in the cookout with him. So in addition to his team, he has five other people in the cookout that he does not feel comfortable putting on the block. And that meant that he only really had five potential options. Derek X, Claire, Brittany, Whitney, and Brent. But he is in an alliance called the Royal Flush, as we saw in the episode, with Derek X and Claire. So he can't really touch them either, which only leaves him with three options, unless he wants to have to nominate two people from his alliance. So when Brittany is playing in the wildcard competition, That's when we got this situation where Derek X is playing, but he needs to not win in case he accidentally saves his teammates, Whitney and Brent. And Brittany can't win because if she wins, then she would be safe and then free from the pool of nominees that Xavier can nominate, which means it'll have to do Brent and Whitney. And then if one of them wins the veto, now he has to nominate an ally, and that's really not a good place to be for him. So that's where we get this situation that we saw in the episode again, where Derek X and Tiffany have to make sure that Brittany loses, and then Derek throws it to Tiffany. They do that successfully, but not without Brittany realizing it and getting very upset. And then Azza gets upset, and then Azza's upset that Brittany's upset, and Azza tries to volunteer for the block, and it's a huge mess here, Jacob.
Oh, completely. I was very frustrated for a moment, but then had to think about these are real emotions that Azza is actually, you know, she cares about Brittany. Brittany is a loyal number to her. But I think someone made this point, or someone in the house, or someone made it on Twitter. It was like, in my mind, if I was Tiffany, like, Azza, you signed up to be Brittany's best friend. I didn't sign up for that. You signed up to, like, not put on a block. If you didn't want on a block, you should have won HOH and kind of did something about it. And Melissa's tweet, I feel like encompass. Yeah. And I think I'm very paraphrasing because I don't know exactly what you said, but when I saw the tweet, I was like, literally retweet. I think you said, if you're not an entity, you in this game, you can't be used as a pawn regardless. And so if Brittany is not actually doing anything to benefit her game, you can say, oh, I don't deserve to be on the block. I sacrificed my game last week. Like, no, you went up. No one asked you for permission to put you on the block last week. You were put on the block because people saw you as disposable. And for you to come in with this attitude again, when you're used as a pawn again, it's because you really don't have any agency in this game. And for Azza to get annoyed at that, I got it for a little bit, but I was also like, you're fighting this battle for Brittany of all people. Like, that's not a cross that you should die on at that point. And so it was very hard to see. And even her interaction with Kylan and her interaction with Tiffany, I was like, I wish Tiffany would have handled this situation a little better with her conversation with Azza, just because I think her annoyance and about this whole situation kind of overloaded her. But yeah, it was just a complete mess. Azza as a person, I got it because she cares about Brittany. She didn't want to see her, but I'm like, you don't need to fight this hard for Brittany. Like, she's safe. She's not at risk. She's being used as a pawn. Yeah. But this is not really affecting your game.
Yeah, I think part of the issue is that Brittany tied herself to Frenchie. Like, I mean, last week when Frenchie was on the block and she was like, it's the two of us, so we're, you know, she's my only friend and save us and blah, blah, blah. Like, that she did that already, and she did no work to integrate herself into the house. And people are saying like, oh no, she is doing something, Melissa, you're wrong. Like, she's not doing nothing. But it's like, well, whatever she's doing isn't working. But she doesn't have any alliances. I mean, Azza is the only person who's fighting for her. So like, sorry, but that's nothing to me. And so like, my thought is that if Brittany gets nominated, rather than being like, I don't deserve to be nominated or whatever, because like, that doesn't mean anything, like, that should be the kick in the pants that you need to be like, oh, I actually should do something. I actually should start forging relationships with these people, or trying to like somehow maneuver my way into some sort of alliance or something. And instead she's just like, well, I don't deserve to be here. I want an apology or whatever. And it's like, that is ridiculous. Like, nobody deserves anything in the game. Like, sorry. And also like, Azza, like, that I get that she's upset that Brittany is on the block. Yeah, because, you know, an ally versus on the block, that's upsetting. But the way that it was handled, the way that she's like, put me up on the block, which is like, that's my number one thing that shows that you're not like a good player. Like, sorry, Azza, but like, that is the worst thing you could possibly say in this game. And it indicates that you don't care. That you don't care about your position in the game. You don't care if you win the game. You don't care if you lose the game. Like, you don't care if you go home. And I just think that that shows where Azza stands in the game. So I think both of those people handled this week poorly. And it definitely makes me question, you know, their strategic ability and their ability in this game and their, you know, and how they're going to move forward. I think Azza's lucky that she has some people who are working for her, but it does seem like even they are kind of like, oh, is she a liability? Like, should I still be working with her? I don't know. And I think that they will, but like, it definitely makes you question. I would certainly question if I was working with Azza and all of a sudden she's telling the HOH, put me on the block, or if I'm the HOH and I'm an ally of hers and she's telling me to put her on the block, I'd be like, okay, so this is not who I want to be working with. Like, I would not be wanting to work with someone like that at all. That is a liability. So this week was not great for them. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna step out a little bit on a limb here, but I was listening to Azza talk to Derek X. I think it was today, and she was describing. I didn't catch all of this, but she was describing like a meeting type group thing that she goes to, or that she had been a part of at one point, or whatever. Where basically at every meeting they all throw $100 into a pot. And then every week one of them takes like $1,000 from the pot, and then over 10 weeks they've all given $1,000 and taken $1,000. So like the person who goes first gets essentially a loan, and the person who goes last like gets their money back. And you know, that combined with, you know, remembering her background, that she has a very massive family, you know, it makes me think of, you know, where she comes from. Does she have some sort of like more collectivist attitude when it comes to just how she interacts, right? She seems like she is more of somebody who is less of an individualist and cares more about the group at large. And I think that's probably why she was so upset that she wasn't looked out for more by, you know, by her supposed group, supposed team, and why she is so willing to, you know, lie down for her, you know, supposed team, right? I don't know.
You go ahead, because you're going to talk about something that he just said and I'm going to veer off. So go ahead.
Now I just forgot what I was about to say, what he just said. Great. So I may need to use the buffer for it's just,
it's, and again, like, yeah, you know, this is, you know, I don't know Azza that well, but that might be part of where she's coming from, I think. And maybe that's something worth thinking about in terms of how she might react to certain things in the game. If she is more of a collectivist and more of a like for the group kind of person, then that's something that you need to be aware of if you're going to play a game with
her. I was going to say that this is like a little like off, but did you like, I feel like no one's talked about this where, well, I guess it's like not even that big of a deal, but I just thought it was a crazy coincidence, which was that there was like this viral thing where Gigi Hadid was like,
yes,
oh my god, like this girl's outfit, and it was a girl from behind and she was like looking really great, she had a great outfit, looked beautiful from behind, but you couldn't see her face, and she's like, oh, this girl like from behind, I wish she had turned around so I could have like snapped a shot or something, or she said like she looks so good or something like that, she posted about it, and then the girl who was in the photo was like, oh, if only I had turned around my life could have changed, and then Gigi was like, oh no, you're like you looked great or whatever, and responded to it. And then it turned out that that's Azza's sister.
It was literally this so crazy. It was on TMZ and everything.
This was going to where I swear it's connected to Azza. But
Taryn looks lost.
Taryn's like, why are you talking about this? I went under her Twitter and I was just like, because I was like looking into the story, and then like I scrolled down a little and she was like, someone posted like, oh, you and your sister are having a moment this summer or something. And it was a picture of Azza. And I was like, wait, what? Yeah. And I was so confused. You guys should look into it. But yeah, it was really crazy that like, it's like her sister went viral and Azza's on TV and like all this stuff. Anyway,
well, I guess
no,
we have
a
really massive family. Like the odds of,
like one of her sisters being out there. Literally. Yeah.
Wait, Taryn, do you know who Gigi Hadid is?
No.
Okay, I figure. I'm about to say
she's a model.
She's like a supermodel, yeah.
Yeah, she's a model. Like her mom was on like Real Housewives or whatever.
Ding ding ding. Azza used to do pageants. Sorry, Melissa, you want to change? I'm gonna go on this quick one. She's doing pageants, and one of the housewives from Real Housewives of Potomac was her pageant coach.
It's all coming together. Taryn, don't you see, Taryn?
Yes, it's.
I need to pull out my like whiteboard with all like the connections.
The connections are all together for me.
Strings, it's... like Taryn, don't you see? Azza, her sister, Gigi Hadid, Housewives. It all makes sense.
That's why she's upset about Britney. I get it.
That
correlation. I know my question now. So even getting into Azza's mind, which Taryn, you pointed out, like Azza could feel like, oh, you know, y'all weren't looking out for me in this instance. But even if like, I can't even see that being a suitable thing because it's not like they took a shot at Azza. They took a shot at someone that they used last week that is safe and is literally not going to go anywhere and is not at risk of going anywhere. Britney hasn't done anything, not a damn thing for her own game for anyone else to think, oh, let's not use her for a pawn every week after week after week. And if she's going to throw a fit every time, I want to see her on the block every week, every week, every week. And so I want to see that. And so I'm just trying to get into Oz's mind. I'm like, yo, y'all didn't look out for me. Whoa. They also have their own game to play, and Xavier already had a small pot to pull, and he wasn't going to pull the chick, the woman, Whitney, that he was cuddling with. Like, why would you do that when that's September for you? And so in my mind, I mean, you know, Azza probably sees them cuddling. I used to get very frustrated because I'm like, yo, even in any scenario, even Derek X, FX tried to break it down to her. Tiffany tried to break it down to her. Numerous people. And I feel like, I feel like when Derek X tried to talk to her about it, I feel like she got it, but it was the, maybe, I feel like it was just the pride of like, okay, I'm already like taking this stance. Let me just like go fully in on it. Now she's dialed it back a little bit. But I, in that moment, I was just like, I was texting my friends. I was like, literally, why is she doing this? You know what I mean? It's just like very mind boggling, but here we are.
Yeah. Also, it's like, she's just being used as a pawn when there's like a whole house target. It's like, it's not like, I mean, for Britney, yeah, obviously you don't want to be used as a pawn, but like for Azza, it's like, it's not like they're kicking Britney out and getting rid of an ally of hers. It's like, yeah, it sucks that she's on the block, but like, you know, that's sometimes that just happens. And also like when Britney during the episode was like, I've been on the block for 7 whole days. I was like, yeah, okay, 7 whole days, that's like about what it would be if you're on the block for 1 week. That's not like that big of a deal. I thought I was going to be like, you know, that makes sense to say when you've been on the block for 3 weeks in a row or something. But she's like, I've been on the block for 7 days. I was like, yeah, and?
And yeah. For what it's worth as well, because I haven't really seen people talk about this, but like her first time on the block was probably one of the comfiest pawn situations
of
all time. Literally the second it happened, she had the other person on the block be like, don't worry, I will literally give up my game for you. I will use the veto on you if I win. I will make sure that I go home. And there was never a thought of flipping that vote the entirety of the week. And this time as well, this other guy that she's next to on the block is so in the dark that he might as well be in the Big Brother 16 black box competition.
Yes!
because he's looking for Donnie. I don't know, but like, you know, it's ridiculous how safe she is. So, you know, it's the idea that like, you know, she's gone through this monumental suffering. Like, I get it. It's definitely not something that I think anybody wants to go through. And I do want to also mention that, like, I'm sure that, you know, Britney may face, you know, sort of challenges that, might have difficulty reacting to emotional stimulus, in the same way that, that others might not. But still, like, there's only so much that you can do. And especially once you start to try and put that weight on other people, and say like, well, it just, somebody else should have to deal with this, but why? And all of that, right? So.
That was a great Frenchie impression, kind of, with like the, you know, the eyes and the close up. It was really good.
Yeah.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right. So Brent ends up being the other person on the block here. We see that, Xavier tells him that he is a pawn, and Brent informs Xavier that I'm not pawn material. What are you talking about? I'm highly intelligent. I don't know. This makes no sense. Why are you so stupid? This is going to be the line that is sold to Brent, which is going to really help, sort of sell the story that Brent is telling himself in his mind, which is that even though he knows he's the target, he is sort of secretly playing up like, oh, then I guess I'm going home, aren't I? Except I'm not, because my team has my back. Meanwhile, they threw the HOH in order to get him targeted. And I've got a secret final two with Alyssa, who's got my back over her own team. And she's, of course, lying to his face. So here's what's happening. Christian wins the veto. Christian has no intention of using the veto, but Brent comes up with a scheme. He tells Kyland to get the kings and the queens together, pull up Derek X, and petition Christian and Xavier, please don't use the veto this week. The reason being, he doesn't want Derek X to end up on the block. He wants to stay up on the block against Brittany because he feels like that is going to be his best chance of staying in this game. And so Kyland and the queens are going to fake like they want to take Brent out of the game, bring Derek X up so he can fake it as well. And then when they don't use the veto, they will blindside Xavier and the kings, or whoever is left on the kings who isn't already with Brent. And Brent will be safe. Basically, if you didn't listen to the update, what this means is that he specifically requested that the entirety of the Royal Flush Alliance come together so that they can laugh at him and say that they're voting him out, which they did. And then he said that he was going to see if Alyssa told him about the meeting afterward, to see like, oh, does she trust me enough? Is she going to tell me about the queens betraying me and that they're going to try to vote me out? Or is she going to actually try and go for it and vote me out? And so, of course, Kylan told Alyssa that he was expecting her to tell him, whether, you know, to see if she trusted him. And she, of course, told him. And now he feels like I've got Alyssa. She's got Christian. This is going to be such a big blindside. I'm squeaky clean. The mafia is going to run this house. And he has even gone as far as to say that right before the vote, he intends to look Xavier in the eye and say, checkmate. Right before he's unanimously evicted.
I just want that pause when Julie reveals the vote to be as long as possible, just so the camera can kind of zoom in. And if he turns to Xavier and does that, I'll be laughing completely. But so I know this plan, like even with Alyssa and telling, you know, Kylan and seeing what Alyssa come back and, you know, tell him, Brent is left in the dark. But is it that dumb of a move for to test someone's loyalty though? And to see like, okay, but we all know like, okay, obviously like, dude, like, you know, this isn't going to go for you. Like they're already laughing in your face. But I was thinking, I was like, it's not that, you know, stupid of a move to do if you're really trying to test someone's loyalty, even though it wouldn't, you know, it's not benefiting anything. But I was like, it's not that bad in my opinion.
I mean, the idea of like, oh, well, I'll see if Alyssa tells me about this definitely, you know, could theoretically tell him something.
Theoretically, yes.
If he didn't tell Kylan about it, because then Kylan was able to give her the heads up that she's supposed to tell him about it. So that was a bit of a misfire. He's testing Alyssa's loyalty by using Kylan's loyalty, but the problem is Kylan isn't loyal either. Nobody is. He's playing, I mean, like, I don't think that Brent is making any severe strategic mistakes. Yeah. The problem that is that he's playing a game in a different universe.
Right. I was going to say that, like, it's hard because it's like, everyone's like, oh, Brent's so dumb. Ha ha ha. But it's like, he's not really, like, he, with the information that he has, he isn't wrong. Like, I mean, it's the fact that he's not getting alerted to the fact that he is going home, or that people are betraying him, or that he doesn't have any loyal allies, or that people threw the HOH to get him out. Like, he doesn't have that information. So, like, and if people just keep telling him, like, yeah, we're good, we're working together, we're in an alliance together, like, how is he supposed to think anything different? And so I do think that, you know, I think, like, we have to be a little, like, I'm not, like, kinder to Brent, but I guess, like, we have to be more understanding of, like, where he's coming from in the way that he's thinking that this week is going to play out. Like, I do feel like he kind of gets what's coming to him, obviously. But, like, at the same time, if I was in Brent's position and everyone was telling me, you're good, what are you supposed to do then?
I think you also have to remember, like, why he has that impression, though. Like, you know, he was basically told by Xavier, you're the pawn. He saw through that, knew he was the target, and immediately went to, I've got my votes, though. My team is going to be pissed about this. I've got my people. And, like, never seemed to stop and wonder, why does Xavier think this will work? Right. He never really took that step. And so that's why, like, I think I can fault him for being in that different universe, because he's never even seemed to stop and question it. What if Xavier made this move because he actually has the numbers to do it? And if that world existed, who would those numbers be?
If you are talking to your team, though, and they are saying you're good, like, you can't, and I feel like we had this last season too, where it was like, they'd be like, okay, am I good though? And they'd be like, yeah, you're good. Then they just lie to them. And it's like, if they keep lying to you, you can't fight to stay, because they're not giving you any opportunity to like open that dialogue, because they're just gonna be like, yeah, no, I'm voting to keep you.
But even
then it just shuts down everything.
Right, like even the people who aren't on his team, like, let's say he believes his team because they theoretically have no reason to lie to him. How about the Jokers, right? How about the Queen?
True, yeah, he should be going to everybody else as well, like, not just his team. Like, you know, that you should never just rely on, like, the bare minimum number of votes. You should be like, okay, but let me try and make sure everyone wants to keep me and we're all on the same page. And if I can convince other people, because votes can go crazy, votes can go haywire. So I absolutely think he needs to be doing more. But to think that his team will still have the numbers, like, isn't so crazy to think about. But
his team,
you know,
it's only three people. He's trusting the Queens, who he's barely had a relationship with prior to this week. So
look, I'm trying to be nice here, okay?
I know. I see Alyssa, like, stretching for something. But by no means, you know, do I have sympathy for bringing the situation. I am ready for this blindside. I am excited for this blindside. But I wish it was, like, a larger blindside, meaning more people were blindsided by this instead of just one. But I think his reaction would be amazing just for enough for four people.
I feel cringing already. Just the thought of
so
it. Blindsides make me feel so uncomfortable. I'm so confused. Like, it's going to be bad.
Especially if does look at Xavier, though, especially if that.
Oh, God.
Oh,
that's going to be so beautiful.
Painfully good, it will be. All right. So basically what we have here with the state of the house, separate from all of this Brent stuff, I've been talking about it on the live feed updates. It's ever evolving. But the basic structure of what we have here is that the Kings, which are Kylan, Claire, and Tiffany, they are in the best spot in the house right now. They are playing the middle of basically everyone. They are aligned with the Kings, with the Royal Flush that Derek X is involved in. They are aligned with the Aces in the Mafia, which is mostly fake, but some members of it think it's good enough that they don't need to target the Queens. And then in addition to that, you know, because Derek X is involved in the Royal Flush, they're good with him. Hannah is in with the Cookout and feels great about all three of the Queens. They're good with her. And then Whitney is the only loose attachment there via the Mafia, or just the fact that she has bigger fish to fry. Then, of course, with the Jokers, two out of the three of them are in the Cookout, which keeps them safe with them. And then the other being Brittany, the only person who's even mentioned anybody from the Queen's name as a potential nominee, not even really as a target. And as of right now, she has zero intention of nominating anybody from the Queens. The Queens are in a very good spot. So the Queens are playing that game. The Kings, the only full team left once Brent leaves, are currently in a spot where they are kind of locked in a war against the Aces while the Queens sit back and watch. So the Kings are currently, as of today, as of this hour, planning on winning, trying to go for the HOH and nominating Whitney and Hannah, the current intended target being Hannah. We can get into why that changed today. Previously, it had been Whitney. And then the Aces are currently kind of trying to get a shot taken at the Kings, but they are less willing to win and take it themselves, despite Derek X trying to urge them to. Hannah and Whitney think that they're pretty safe with the house and don't think they need to be the ones to take the shot. Derek X is trying to tell them, you need to do this. You're in trouble if you don't, but he can't give them all of his information because that would expose his own position in the game. And then the Jokers are running wild. There is still not a 100% locked in plan for them, but as of right now, the Queens have sort of helped solidify, or could help solidify, where the Jokers are, because in the war between the Aces and the Kings, Derek X has been pushing hard to get this target off of the Aces and onto the Kings. And Tiffany and Claire have started to come around to the idea that the Kings need a shot taken at them. Kyland was very slow to agree to this, but just today he finally has seemed to come around that the Kings should have a shot taken at them. And because of that, they now plan to try to convince, or try to help convince Whitney and Hannah to win the HOH so that a shot can be taken at the Kings, meaning primarily Alyssa or Christian, so that they can head into the following week with three Kings, three Aces, them both still going at it, and the Queens still getting to sit in the middle. And to help bolster their odds of a shot being taken at the Kings, Tiffany has been speaking with some of the Jokers making sure that they are on board for this shot as well. As of right now, the most recent conversation between Tiffany and Brittany was Brittany leading the conversation, explaining to Tiffany why they need to take the shot at Christian and Alyssa, which works out very well for Tiffany and her desires at the moment. But in all of this, things could still shift, because Whitney has approached Alyssa and Christian with another alliance proposal, saying that they should work together with X and Derek X, and that she doesn't really care for Hannah. And that's part of why they're willing to take the shot at Hannah right now. But this news has gone back to Xavier, who currently doesn't intend to tell anybody about it because he's worried it will rile them up. But if Derek X gets involved and gets wind of this, he likely is going to tell the Queens. And if the Queens catch wind of the fact that Whitney is talking about this sort of thing, they may change their mind once again and start to target Whitney again, which may give Derek X incentive to not tell them about it if and when he does learn about it. So there's still plenty going on, and plenty in regards to who may or may not be targeted next week. But for the most part, that is the basic structure of what's happening just this week. The long-term structure is still something that we could go over, but is a whole separate thing.
Whew. You need some water.
I was literally about to do the same.
You need some water. And the only way I kept up with this is by your tweets. So I was like, thank God that you're tweeting about this. There's no way that I would be able to latch on to it. There's so many moving parts. Mm-hmm. And even I feel like Xavier got involved with like saying something. I'm like, yo, why are you saying this? Mm-hmm. And I was so confused, so mind boggled by it. And so it was a lot of like question marks. And this is leading up to Thursday. And like, who is going to win and what are they going to do? And so...
It really is like Game of Thrones.
Yep.
With like the different houses. I never watched that show. It's so like Game of Thrones with the different houses, really? And they're all like competing. And then some people are like betraying other people in their house. And like, you know, there's different alliances and they're working together for certain purposes, but not for others. Very funny.
I am really proud, and I'm hoping that Derek X knows what to keep to himself and what to expose. But I'm really happy about how he's going through this a little bit. Even though it could get sticky, I'm like, I have, you know, hope that he knows information to keep to himself and he knows information that he can tell like to the queens or whatever. And so fingers crossed on him. But I'm really excited for him getting into this stock watch.
All right. Well, let's quickly try to go over some of the long-term alliances and relationships as well, and then we'll get into the stock watch. So,
also, I saw an alliance chart on Reddit, and it was so funny because Brent was in two like fake alliances and no real alliances. It was really funny.
That's so depressing. Like,
Brent, yikes, not doing so well.
Mm-hmm. So the teams are obviously alliances to some degree, but the biggest alliance right now, of course, is the Royal Flush. But it's barely an alliance at this point, considering half of the Royal Flush is trying to take a shot at the other half, meaning the Queens plus Derek X are trying to get a shot taken at the Kings to weaken them. This alliance likely isn't too long for this world at the moment, depending on what happens with the HOHs. Within this alliance, you have Derek X and the Queens have formed an alliance called the Detectives. And this is an alliance that also likely isn't going to last, but it represents that these four are working together pretty closely. Derek X has a close relationship with Kyland and a close relationship with Tiffany. He's also working with Hannah, and Whitney, as part of his team. He's also been developing a relationship with Azza that kind of got put on hold because of the whole wild card thing. It seems like he's starting to maybe get back on track with that. They did have that conversation today that I talked about. So Derek X building those relationships. Tiffany, of course, has Claire as a number one, but primarily seems to be focused on Kyland as her number one. They call themselves the Connect, and they both seem, for the most part, most loyal to each other, and they tell each other the most amount of things, but I think they do also recognize each other as potentially their own biggest threats to the win, but I'm still not sure exactly how that's going to play out. Claire and Derek X both seem to recognize that Kyland and Tiffany are the power players in the whole group, and they both have been trying to play the other off the other, meaning Derek X says to Kyland things about Tiffany and to Tiffany things about Kyland. Claire is more focused on Tiffany, talking about Kyland. She's been trying to throw Kyland under the bus as much as possible, and she seems to be gaining some traction. So that's all happening over there. Then, meanwhile, on the Kings, of course, you have Kyland working closely with X and with Sarah Beth. That's where he has two of his numbers. Sarah Beth is currently trying to target Hannah because she finds her threatening. You have Alyssa and Christian, who are currently trying to work on their own structure.
Work on their own structure.
Can you still hear me? I'm sorry.
I hope this isn't another moment where Jacob takes control and then he's spinning around. That was so funny. I love that. He was like, no, Taryn, come back. Don't leave me alone here.
Christian and Alyssa are currently trying to make three separate Final Fours, one with the Kings, one with Claire and Tiffany, one with Derek X and Kyland. The one they would be the most loyal to, meaning the one they want to actually bring to the end, is the one with Claire and Tiffany. They actually have recently, just today, been talking about how they feel like Kyland and Derek X should be the first to go of the Royal Flush in general. When that is going to happen, Could come down to who gets targeted when, but primarily, Eve, just today, Christian said he does not trust Kylan at all, and wants Kylan gone perhaps even before Derek X, because he feels like Derek X would be more lost without Kylan. Kylan had other, would have other things if Derek X left. So they need to be looking at Kylan. So that's kind of where they currently stand. They have not made much progress with those final fours. They should be getting to it if they want to, because as of right now, Claire and Tiffany are targeting them. So that's happening there for their long-term plans. Of course, the cookout is still working together. This is still a factor. Many of the members of the cookout, primarily, Kylan and Tiffany have talked about the cookout in terms of, let's at least get them to jury, and then from there we'll see. Kylan is the most on board with that. Kylan seems to be willing to drop it as soon as jury hits. Tiffany at least represents to Kylan that she is less willing to do that. She's maybe a little more dedicated to it. Xavier seems to be very dedicated to the cookout, very much wanting to get the cookout members as far as possible. Hannah also seems very dedicated to it, despite not actually knowing the name and only being an honorary member. And then Azza and Big D have said some things about the cookout. They primarily do not see Hannah as part of it really at all. And they also have some issues with some of the people in the cookout. So they, I think, wouldn't betray it outright. They certainly have bigger fish to fry. But they are also not necessarily the most loyal to the group either. So while I do think the cookout is still a very powerful force in the game, it is definitely not the most cohesive group at the moment. And let's see, am I missing anything else? Probably. Hannah is currently trying to go after the Kings, but she's not willing to win anything to do it. She thinks she's close with Whitney, but Whitney has recently been throwing her under the bus. So Whitney's long-term prospects in the game include trying to work with, or trying to pretend at least to work with the Kings, but she actually seems to want to work over with I don't even know what her long-term prospects are at this point. She's kind of all over the place, but she has also recently mentioned that Tiffany and Kylan are on her radar. Whether that gets back to them soon enough for it to matter will also be interesting to see. The Jokers are still, trying to do their own thing, currently thinking about targeting the Kings. So this the long-term stuff is also all over the place, and very subject to change as things change. This is not a house of, this is the structure and it will change slightly over the course of the next week. And then we'll say it again next week. Like, things are changing by the hour, by the minute.
I completely agree. And I think because I kind of viewed like Tiffany and Kylan as like the power, like, couple in a sense, like they're like actively making the moves. But since people are now like, you know, their eyes are open and everyone has their number now, it's kind of a lot more scary. And so it's kind of like sporadic groups targeting different groups. And it's kind of like, I don't know what's going to happen. And no one, I feel like, is at the pinnacle of the house. I don't feel like one per, well, I in a sense, I could say kind of like Derek X is in a sense a lot of the middle in this game, but I don't feel like there's one sole group of power that's leading the charge. And so that's like really cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the Queens are probably in that spot more than anyone else. But they don't have like total control.
Yeah.
Like groups have in the past. And that's not down to them not being as good as previous groups. It's down to this cast being too savvy in general to be controlled by one group in general. There's one thing I want to bring up before the Stockwatch ratings, and that is that something I've noticed that the players in this game seem to talk about a lot is, and I think this is influenced a lot by Xavier's HOA train, which is primarily about who can I not piss off. But a lot of this talk about next week and who should we target and why and should we win and why is, well, we can't piss off this many people. We can't piss off this person. We can't piss off, well, this is going to piss off the least amount of people. So that's what we should do. And I do think that that is something to focus on. But I think this cast has been overly focusing on it, mostly because Frenchie did what he wanted and he immediately paid for it. Kylan and Xavier have both done the house will. And they are both still in the good graces of the house. And so the players in this season are really learning, like, don't make a splash with your HOH. And because of that, I think they are occasionally forgetting that when you're HOH and you make a move, you could change the entire structure of the house, right? So, like, if you make a move on the kings and you're worried about the kings being mad at you and retaliating, that you can sort of, like, you can put people in a position where they might want to retaliate, but maybe they can't. You know, you take a note from Vanessa's book. And Vanessa was never scared of pissing people off. She was always putting people in a position where they had to work with her, even if they didn't like her. Her social game was not very good. But people worked with her because she was able to put them in a spot where they felt like they had to. And that's an avenue in the game that I think a lot of these players have been overthinking, or like not thinking of as much as they should, because they're so focused on this one line of thinking. And I think that that's something that could change, because these people are very, very savvy. And I think they will start to see that as the game goes on, like, oh, we need to start really making moves and pushing our own agendas on our own. But I do think it's something worth noting right now. The game is being played in a way where everybody is trying to stay in good as much as possible in all circumstances.
Yeah, and you can't keep that up.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't say, yeah, like, you, I mean, you're always, there's always going to be something. And I think that, you know, I think also that you're not playing your best game if you're just trying not to upset people, because, you know, then you're just kind of picking off the lowest person one by one. And eventually you're the lowest person, unless you've been controlling the game the whole time, which, you know, that's going to be like one person. So I do think that, like, you need to be careful and also look at your position in the house and not just try and, you know, appease everybody. I mean, yes, the first couple HOHs, I do think, like, yeah, just pick off one person. It doesn't matter. Like, don't like try and rock the boat right away, because, you know, those are the easiest HOHs. You should really just get out, you know, the lone person or the person who's pissing everybody off or whatever. But once you get down to it, I mean, the numbers are not going to be in your favor unless you're controlling the house. And so if you're not controlling the house and someone else is controlling the numbers, you're going to find yourself in a bad position coming up pretty soon. So yeah, I think they need to pay attention to that.
Yeah. And it's fine for the queens, who have the ability to, like, if the queens encourage this kind of gameplay, the queens will continue to be safe, because if everybody's worried about, well, I can't piss off a certain amount of people, then nobody's ever going to go after the queens, because the queens are the most protected. And they're always going to go after lower hanging fruit. If the queen started setting the precedent that you take shots at protected people, then that may eventually come back around on the queens. But for anybody that's not a queen, I'm talking about Hannah, I'm talking about the kings, I'm talking about all of these people that are like, I need to make the shot that pisses off the least amount of people. You're not in that spot right now.
No.
You should be forging a new structure that puts you in that spot. And I think they're overlooking that fact. So, okay. Are we ready to talk Stockwatch?
I think we are.
Okay. Let's do it. Let's do the Stockwatch here. Here it is. Hopefully this is easily legible here.
Glasses on.
I can barely see it. All right, let's go over this stuff here. We're going to start with Alyssa. Now, of course, this is where we rate every player 1 through 10, a scale of 1 through 10, where 1 is the worst. They have no chance of winning this game. They have been playing terribly, about as bad as you can play. 10 meaning they have played this week as well as you could possibly play it. They're a favorite to win the game right now. And doing extremely well with very few flaws. And then 5 is, you know, somewhere in the middle there, about average, replacement level. I polled the audience, at the start of this day. I sent out a survey link, and the audience is rating the players. They are going to have their own say, and then all three of us will give, our ratings, and then we'll take an average, and that will influence the price on the Stockwatch game, where people are buying and selling shares of these players. So let's start with Alyssa. who last week got 5. We'll see where it goes this week. Jacob, let's start with you. How do you feel about Alyssa?
So Alyssa, I was very hopeful. I have been very hopeful about Alyssa since the very first time she's been nominated, because I feel like we saw that bit of fire in her behind the moment she got put on the block. But I feel like last week and this week, a lot of her time is not spent building those social connections you need in a game like Big Brother. A lot of the times, you know, are spent with Christian cuddling up with him, or, you know, kissing him under the blanket in X's bed and things like that, which could be cute for showman's lovers and for people, you know, loving the storyline or anything like that. But I don't feel like it's benefiting her in the slightest, besides having Christian as a target ahead of her in that instance. And I feel like she let go of a lot of her like connections that she kind of potentially could have had this week just by being isolated to Christian. And I would just love to see her gain more agency in the game. And I mean, I feel like she's aware that her and Christian are targets, so she's fighting for that next HOH. And I feel like that next HOH is a pivotal HOH that could potentially shape out the game. But I just, I don't have that potential that even after she does win that next HOH, potentially if she does, that anything will change with her game. I don't feel like more people will want to work with her. I don't feel like she will have those deeper connections. I feel like she will just be expendable at all costs. With that said, I am not very high on her. I am giving her a whopping 4.
A 4?
I thought you were about to say a 1. Like, you said one. And I was like, whoa. Say one. Yeah, you were like, what? And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a 1. But okay. Yeah,
I like her a little bit more. Also, don't get the Alyssa hate. As much people as like, they don't like her, I can get, you know, like, you can maybe think she's boring and not really playing the game, but I know a lot of people like have disdain for her. I really don't understand why, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think her connection with Christian is not great for her game. I think she would do much better if she wasn't with him. But at the same time, like, maybe he is a shield for her. So I feel like it's like got good and bad parts to it. But it's just, I don't know. For me, I don't love it. And I don't want them to be doing that. I don't know. Whatever they're doing, they should do
whatever they're doing,
it.
They should stop.
Yeah, they should stop that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like for me, she's doing fine. Like, I feel like she's in like a decent spot. Although, you know, if people start to really say we need to take a shot at the Kings, like, I think I'd be a little worried for her. But, you know, at this point, I do feel like she's doing fine. And so I can't really like say good or bad at this point. So I'm just going to give her a 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting spot here. I think that Alyssa, I said in week one that I felt like she was a 6 player who was in a slightly worse position than a 6 would be in, right? Like she was on the block at that point. And then last week she was fine, but still slightly in a precarious spot. This week, I think again, I do think she has potential as a player. She is smart. She is somebody that takes proactive measures to position herself in a good spot. She actively talks to people and she has plans to set herself up in a way that would be pretty good for her if it worked. However, I think that Alyssa in another season could be like a very dominant force on a, you know, majority Cool Kids Alliance. If the Slaughterhouse stayed a thing, that could have been great for her.
Yeah.
But she is playing with sharks in this game, and she is consistently one step behind because of that, even though she is still very capable in this game. I would give her a 6, if not for the fact that she is in some danger next week. There, especially with the Queens currently on the idea that they do want a shot taken at the Kings. They have recently somewhat changed their minds, and they are considering targeting Christian over her, which is a definite win for her. However, there is still too much of a likelihood that she could go on the block and that she could end up being sent home as early as next week. And so because of that, I can't quite give her the 6 I keep talking about when it comes to Alyssa. But I do think that if she survives the coming weeks, she may eventually get to a spot where she does become as dangerous as her potential says she could be. So Watch out for Alyssa if she does not go home. But as of right now, she's a 5 for me. And a 5 from the audience. There you go.
Yep.
Right. I think I need to look, see this potential that you're talking about, Taryn, because I genuinely don't see it. I don't see it.
And that's fair. I think a lot of people would agree with you, Jacob. All right. So let's talk about Azza. Melissa, how do you feel about Azza?
Not so great. I've been very disappointed with her this week. I think that, like, even though she has been doing herself no favors, she's still in a decent position because people in the house are still working with her. She is involved in some alliances. So I do think that, like, she has that going for her. But I think she's putting herself... She's not helping herself. Let's just say that. I'm disappointed that she's kind of, you know, I don't know, hitched onto the Britney wagon and is just like, I'm riding this thing till it's done. You know, it's like, okay, like maybe just kind of separate, like, you know, still be friends and still work together, but don't sit there and be like, put me on the block. I want to go instead of her. It's like, no, don't do that. So, yeah, I got to give her a 4. Because like if she wasn't still involved in these alliances, I'd go lower, but I think because she still has those alliances, it's better for her. But I'm really disappointed. I mean, anyone who says put me on the block instead is already a negative for me. So
yeah. It's not great, Azza. The potential that I saw in Azza, I'm feeling like is never going to come to fruition. I think that it could have in another game, in different circumstances, if things had played out differently. I think that Azza could be good at this game, but she's not in that position. And I think most of the time she won't end up in that position. And that's because, one, she's just not social enough. She just doesn't go out there. She doesn't talk to people. She doesn't really, communicate enough, talk enough game. It's just not really even her thing. She talked a lot this week about how, you know, this game just isn't really meant for her. And it honestly sounded like she doesn't really want to be there all that much. And I think that because of that, you really have to dock her a lot of points. I think that she has a great chance of making it to jury. I think she has a great chance of making it far in the game because I don't think anybody's going to be particularly threatened by her. And theoretically, she has a good chance to win the game if she has some votes from the cookout. But despite that, I think that this week in particular, offering yourself up as a pawn, I cannot reward that with anything higher than a 3. I think that maybe next week if she doesn't do that again, I'll go up to a 4. That's probably where she should sit regularly because of her cookout connections, but man, this week was a disaster, and I'm giving her a 3 because of it. Jacob, what do you think?
Taryn, I agree with you on a majority of what you just said right now. But a 3? All right, child. Okay, so...
You say you want to go up on the block. She said, send me home, Xavier. I don't care. I'll go home.
Okay.
But you can
see that, but I feel like you can also see the point of what she was making. Okay, yes. Her saying, oh, let me go on the block. Do-do-do-do-do. Absolutely not, Azza. Please don't ever say that again. But I do-do-do-do. But I feel like she even said that she was like, oh, if she's going to be safe, like, I know how crazy that sounds. Like, put me on the block. Trust me, I would never say that. But if she's going off the same limits of like, oh, Britney's safe, like, I can be safe. I think I'm probably stretching for something because the same potential that you looked at me or the camera and said that you have for Alyssa is the same potential that I can see for Azza. And so I believe she has the cookout, which I believe she can make it far. Based solely off of their backs, yes, because I don't really see her having any other social connections other than Derek X and that being. But I still see, you know, she's not in the line of fire right now. And if she's riding this hard for Brittany, Brittany better win HOH and ride that hard for her at any circumstance. And so I feel like she may have that indebted loyalty that I feel like you need in a game like this. And I don't feel like I feel like she has that with Brittany. And so with all that said, I have potential for Aza. I don't know if my potential is, you know, all the way. I believe it's a little bit more than a three. So I'm going to go with Melissa and I'm going to give it a four.
All right.
Okay, I can respect a four. That's, you know, the correct score.
Well, is it the correct score? Let's ask the audience.
They better not give it a three. They better not.
The audience gave Aza.
Terrence, stop it.
They gave her a three.
A three?
They did.
Yeah, I want to talk to y'all. Y'all,
well, I'm
hit
surprised
me up on Twitter.
Because usually the audience is like usually rates higher. You know,
the
like
audience was
there
high,
so many
the,
people who
the audience was very high on Aza in the first week. In the second week, they were lower on her than many of the panelists, and now this week again, lower once more. There's another question on the survey that might help illustrate, I think, the audience's feelings. On Aza, I asked the audience, who did you agree more with about the wild card and nomination situation? Aza and Brittany or Xavier, Tiffany and Derek X? 96% said that they sided with Xavier, Tiffany and Derek X in that situation. So the audience not really on the side of Aza here.
Yeah, no.
I mean, if that was a question, I would be on their side 100%. But a three? Taryn, I need to talk to you.
You gave her four. It's only
no,
one.
Okay, but
so
a three, though?
Taryn.
It is so different. It is so different. It is literally so different. They're both still in red, but yours is a little bit darker. Okay?
Yeah, look at the colors, Taryn. That's different.
All right.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Let's talk about Brent. If you want to talk about the low ratings here, I gave Frenchie a one last week, and I'm gonna do it again. I'm giving Brent a one this week. This guy is again just so far away from reality in this house. He has so no chance of staying. This is a guy, the people in power and the majority of the house should want Brent to stay over Brittany. There's a lot of reasons to do that. Tiffany herself has indicated that she would be inclined to try and make it happen. But this is a guy who has done so bad socially and is so lost strategically that the option hasn't even gotten any further than what it. It's a one. This is a clear one for me. Melissa, you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I agree, and I think like if the week has already moved on, like if everyone in the house has already moved on to the next week prior to your eviction, like you haven't even been evicted yet. It's Tuesday, and they had moved on long before this. You know, if they've already moved on. And they're acting as if like, okay, yeah, but that's already said and done. We're not even going to like discuss this. It's not even like in discussion who's going to go home. Like that's not a good sign for you. It basically means you're dead in the water. So, yeah, I got to give him a one.
Jacob.
Let's run it up, baby. So I'm going with the ones. I didn't mean run it up as in their score. I meant like ones across the board. I'm giving him behind a one,
I'm
too.
I'm giving him a 10.
I'm giving him a 10, a 15. But I feel like, I don't know who you're on the update with. Is that Scally? I think it was Scally. And he was just like, Brent, like, you knew that, I'm too good, or I'm too good of a player just to be a pawn. Like, you should still be in that same mindset as now, homeboy. I don't know what you're doing. It's delusion. It's everything. And so it's suited for a one, definitely. That's the easy one.
The audience agrees. It's another, it's two straight weeks of straight ones in the Stockwatch. That has to be unprecedented at this point. So there you go. All ones for Brent. Now let's start with Brittany. Let's start with Brittany. And this time I'll let the audience go first. If you thought the audience was hard on Azza, they gave Brittany a 2 out of 10. Oh. So there it is for the audience. Jacob, how do you feel about Brittany?
I thought your ass was about to say they gave her a 1. I was about to be like, no. Okay. We saving those ones for, something good. Okay. The audience, y'all are too harsh. Honestly, y'all are. And literally, y'all really are. Because, so Brittany, she's an easy target. We all get that. And unless she wins power, which even if I think she does win power, I don't think it will sway anybody's mind to keep her later in the game or, it wouldn't change her position in the game. I see her being a professional pawn. What do they call the people that continually be a pawn? What do they call them?
Pawn stars.
Yeah, perpetual. Is that the word you use?
Perpetual pawn star,
block star.
That one. Mm. Pawn star. I like pawn star. So yeah, I think she's going to be a pawn star to the day she leaves the Big Brother house, because she's not like, she has no agency in this house. She has a stand with Azza. That's about it that she has in this house. And people just see her as being expendable with it's an easy person to go along with their target to leave the house. And so for that, I give her a 3. I can see her making it kind of far, but that's about it.
That's same with me. I want to give her a 3 as well. I think that, obviously it's not great that she's now seen as a block star, but I do think that, I don't think that she's totally, out or anything like that. I don't think like, oh, okay, well, her game is done. I think she has a lot more room to run. She just has to forge those bonds, create those alliances, get in somewhere. Because at some point the pawn will go home. Like, even if you're a perpetual pawn, like, there's going to be a point where someone doesn't want to make a big move, wants to do something easy, and just decides to get you out. So I just think she needs to really step it up after this week. And if she can't, then, it might be game over for her. But at this point, I'm not ready to say that yet.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Brittany, I don't feel great about either. I think that the thing about Brittany, right, in comparing Brittany to her closest ally right now, Azza, Azza has the advantage of the cookout, and that's a very big advantage. But Brittany has the advantage of being much more self-interested in the game. Much more active in the game, actively talks to other people. I actually have to give Brittany some credit here. She has developed enough relationships around the house that they actually do care enough about her that they don't want to put her on the block, and that they see her as somebody that they can pick up, and that they don't want to piss off again. Her sort of intimidation tactic almost has kind of worked. There are a lot of people, especially on the Kings, who don't want to touch her next week because they don't want to ruin their relationship with her. Now, what that could mean is that eventually they just target her outright, and that very well could happen as early as next week. But you do have to credit her for developing those relationships and making people feel comfortable enough with her that they think that they can use her in the game. So I appreciate that. She's also, for what it's worth, not a slouch in competitions. She did pretty well in that water veto competition. She almost could have won that wild card competition if not for the slip up, where she doesn't, do the math correctly. So I wouldn't necessarily count her out or competitions either. So overall, I think for me, that balances them out. I think that Brittany is about on the same playing field as Azza. And for that reason, I also gave her a 3. And I think that they both have a lot of catching up to do if they want to really become contenders in this game. But we'll see where that goes. All right.
I can't believe you said on the same playing field as Azza, but I'll let it slide. I'll let it slide.
Let's talk about Christian. Jacob, how do you feel about Christian?
The showman's guy. Long locks. I love it. We haven't seen him getting his hair done more recently, which I'm kind of upset about because I feel like that was his in on a lot of connections. And I feel like he's just let those die tremendously. And I have not been happy about that. And again, he's spending, you know, majority of his time with Alyssa. And I know someone told them, I don't know if it was together or just to Alyssa or just to Christian, like, hey, y'all should like, you know, stop. Or they've been wanting to like stop hanging around with each other as much and wanting to hang out with each other in group settings. And I feel like he just let a lot of things slip out of his hands this week, out of his control. He's a target for next week, which I don't think I don't feel like before today he was necessarily as big of a target as he is going into next week as he, you know, was previously. I think today like changed a lot of people's minds, and even the Queens wanting to target him over Alyssa. Because he is a big threat. He can win competitions. They pointed out in the house, and I know you've pointed out, like, he hasn't lost about one competition that he's been participating in, and that was the HOH competition at the first bit of things. I don't feel like he has any influence as of yet, besides over Alyssa. And that like worries me because if say he does make something, I just feel like in the cookout, because he's close to Xavier, they could easily like persuade him in the direction that they want him to go in instead of thinking about his own game. So with that being said, I'm in between two numbers right now, and I didn't decide before. I'm just gonna go for it. I'm four. Put it down because I see him being a huge target next week, but I also can see him winning the competition to not make that happen. But I also can see that not happening. But I also can see if he does win it, what is he going? Put it four. Let's do it.
Are you sure, Jacob?
I don't know. Put it down, Terry. Put it down. I don't know. Put it down.
Okay. I think you're good with that score. I don't think you're so off. I honestly, like, for me,
You're not so off. You're off, but not so much.
Like, don't it's, say like, so wrong. Like, it's wrong, but, like, you know, it's fine. Like,
you
it's
came
not
close.
So
you did good.
You came
Jacob.
Really close to doing a good job, Jacob. No. Like, for Christian, I feel similarly to Jacob, and I feel also a little conflicted because I do think, like, there are pros and cons to his game. I think that, you know, I think overall he's positioned himself similarly to Alyssa, but then it's like, okay, but they're in a showman. So then is he a shield for her? But then people see her as like the brain. So then like, does that mean she'll get targeted? And it kind of flips back and forth. And then not to mention the fact that like, he's a big physical threat, which can go either way where it's like, okay, well, people are going to target him because of that. But if they target him, he'll just win. So who cares? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so it really does go back and forth for me. I do think, you know, I think he's in a similar position to Alyssa. So I'm just going to give him a 5 just because I'm really unsure at this point of where he goes.
Yeah. I'm in a similar spot here. I'm actually like looking at my Christian rating history here. I gave him a 7 in the first week, a 6 in the second week, and I think I'm going to give him a 5 here in the third week of the game. And I actually feel good about that because the reason I gave him a 7 in the first week is that I felt like he was in a good enough position that he could basically do nothing and coast on that for at least a couple of weeks. And I feel like that's basically what's happened for Christian. He hasn't done a lot to improve his own standing, but his relationships are good enough that he has stayed in the clear for a while. And he is enough of a comp beast that he is never somebody to take lightly. Now, the problem for Christian is that despite his relationships, the target on his back has grown. And people are now talking about potentially taking him out of the game. Now, that does not mean that they are, you know, heavily targeting Christian. There's a lot of discussion back and forth between Christian and Alyssa. And even then, there's still only half the house that's, you know, willing or capable of doing it. And when I say half the house, I mean half of the house. So there's still a pretty good chance of him surviving the next week between either the HOH competition, the wild card competition, or the veto competition. He could straight up win one of those things. And even if he loses all three of those things, or, you know, his teammate, because he can't play in the wild card competition, then he still may not go out because they may take the shot at Alyssa over him in the next week. And then if Alyssa does go, I think that Christian is probably here for a while. So because of that, I think he's still in an okay position, despite the fact that he could be targeted next week, similar to Alyssa. And I think that they are both in a place where they could either be targeted and one of them leaves and then the other might shoot up, or they could win next week and then continue on their streak and be in a dominant position and both go up or both go down, depending on what happens. But they're very in flux here, both of them, in this game. And I think that they are both still worth looking at as pieces on this board. The audience agrees with Melissa and myself on this one. They gave Christian a 5.
Now they want to be nice.
The so audience is go. Very fickle. You never know what they're going to give you.
All right. So let's talk about Claire. Melissa, how do you feel about Claire?
I love Claire. I think she's so funny, too. Like, I mean, there's so many clips that I've shared, too, on my Twitter where it's just her just being, like, hilarious. I just crack up. She's great. I love her. I do think that... I'm a little worried about her because I do see, I thought her and Tiffany were like number one duo and I was very excited about that, but it does kind of seem like Tiffany is not so like 100% on board with just her and Claire like to the end, you know, and that kind of makes me sad and concerned. I mean, I don't think it's bad for Tiffany's game necessarily, but I do think that like that is a little bad for Claire's game. But, you know, I do really love her. I think she's got a great mind. I don't know necessarily if she's built enough bonds with other people in the house. I know she has built some bonds, but I don't know if they're strong enough. So at this point, I feel comfortable giving her a 7.
Yeah, there you go. I feel pretty similarly. I think that Claire is... in an interesting spot. I've given her a 7 both weeks so far. I think I'm basically in the same spot. I will say, as time goes on, I'm becoming more and more impressed with her strategic ability and mind. And my impression of her socially has also solidified in terms of becoming sort of less impressed. Or I guess I wasn't very impressed at first and I was hopeful, but then I've continually been sort of like, okay, no, I'm right in this judgment. Her social game is lacking. And she recognizes this, but her strategic game is amazing. She really knows what she's talking about. She is the person who is most on, I mean, there are actually a few people on to Kyland right now. Christian is actually one of them, but she has actually been doing some decent work against Kyland, which is very necessary for her game. And I love that she's doing it. And I love that she's doing it successfully. I think that that's very good for her. So I also am going to give her a 7 again this week. I think that, she is a contender to win this thing, but, there are a few obstacles in her way. That could be very dangerous for her, both in the path to the end and then also for her jury potential, right? The lack of social game is going to hurt, and the Cookout Alliance, who is, you know, they're all likely going to be voting for each other in the end, is something that she really needs to be cautious of if she's going to go to the end. So there are a couple things that really are blocking her from the win, but she's in a great spot right now, and I have a lot of faith in her strategic ability. So it's going to be a 7 from me. Jacob, what do you think?
So I love Claire. I think Claire's funny. I think she's smart. I think she's intuitive. I think she's able to adapt. I wish she would come out of her shell and just be more social with more people a lot more. But I feel like she's in a good game position. I feel like her relationships That she does have. I do feel like they're strong. And one thing that I really love about her is that she is so aware. I remember her talking to the cameras. And even what you just, said about, oh, she knows she needs to be more social and, you know, develop more connections. But I remember her looking at the camera and her saying, her going through, you know, Tiffany and Kylan, and her saying like, those are like, are the biggest, like, big threats. Or like, they're the most powerful people in the game. And she knows that she can't beat Tiffany, in the end. And I don't remember what happened after that. If she was like, oh, I'm still going to take her, or X, Y, and Z. I don't remember. But I do love that she knew that. I do feel like her biggest obstacle will be the cookout, and maneuvering away beyond that kind of solidified. What are they? Eightsome, sixsome, fivesome, foursome? What are they? Fivesome?
All of the above, really.
All of the above. There are some. And so I honestly feel like that will be kind of her biggest obstacle. But I do love the fact that she was, you know, sprinkling those seeds about Kylan to Tiffany to kind of get some doubt, because she knows that they are close. And it wasn't even in a direct way to make Tiffany run back and to say anything to Kylan. It was just like in such a small way. And so I think Claire has the most, well, not the most, it's someone else I think has the most potential. I think Claire's potential is like, that thing is like going up and up and up. And I have faith in her that when she does get power, and she doesn't want power right now. I don't think she needs power right now. But I do think when she does get power, I think and I hope that she does not let Kylan and Tiffany kind of just like, you know, ram that horse in whatever door that it needs to be rammed in. I don't know the analogy that I was getting at, and I don't even know if a horse is involved, but I for sure am going to slap a big fat eight on my good sis Claire, baby.
I am,
and I don't eight regret it.
From Jacob Jones. The audience gave her a seven. The audience and Jacob Jones not on the same.
We really don't have a good relationship, and I'm okay with that. Trust me, I'm fine.
There you go. Okay, let's talk about Derek F. Big D. Let's talk about Big D here. Okay, so the first week I gave Big D a five. I was saying, look, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It's only week one. Maybe things are going to change. Second week, I was like, nah, okay. Big D is Big D. I gave him a three. And I think the three was, I think I said it was a little bit punitive because of, you know, how poorly he specifically played that week. I think that Big D has not specifically played this week poorly. So I think that for me, Big D is in a better spot than Azza, where he is. People are less exasperated about him in the game at the moment. He actually does have a couple of relationships that are really helping keep him afloat. And I think that, again, with the backing of the cookout, that is a decent place to be. I think that he is going to be here for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And so I gave him, I think, a generous four this week. Jacob.
Same.
Oh, Melissa.
Well, I was just going to say same. Four
I
for me.
Same too, yeah.
There you go.
Easy.
The audience also gave Big D a four. So it's
now the audience, now y'all are, you know, now y'all are
now they know what's up.
You know? Wait, I do love, and I this may be a 4.5 for me, but I do love when he told Brittany, don't rap on your next eviction speech. I was like, thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And he did. Oh, that was so sweet. I loved it. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Now let's move on to Derek X. Let's talk about Derek X here. The audience for Derek X gave Derek X a seven. Seven for Derek X, up there with Claire, the audience, who gave him a four in week one, a six in week two, is now up to a seven here in week three. What a rise for Derek X. Melissa, yeah.
I'm on the same page. I've been so impressed with Derek X. I feel like it's like to watch him like just like fully understand this game and just like go for it has been so fun and so impressive. I mean, we already knew he was smart coming into the game, but he just didn't didn't know anything about it and didn't know what to do. And I feel like to watch him blossom like this has just been so awesome. I think he's great and I think he's in a great position. And I'm, you know, I am hopeful that maybe he can make sure that his teammates, you know, do the right thing and target the Kings. I think that he sees what he needs to do and he knows kind of how to do it, or at least to try and do it in a way that doesn't, you know, impact him in a negative way with his alliance. But yeah, I honestly, I'm very impressed with him and I'm really excited to see, you know, how he does moving forward.
Jacob, what do you think?
So the Vito Prince, the suave swagger, the outfits, the bone structure, chef kiss, right? And I, and like what Melissa said, I have loved watching him grow to know and to like love this game more and more. I feel as though he's gained credibility back from, he had credibility, especially from the first week. I feel like he just like had like took like a dive into the upper trajectory of his game. I feel like he's becoming so well insulated into the groups that he's in and even going out and furthering that to other people. But one key thing that I love about Derek X, and I didn't, you know, he made the mistake, not the mistake, but he just didn't fight as hard for his people the first week. And I love the fact that he's fighting hard for his people, as in Whitney and Hannah this week. And knowing that like these people are mine and I want to protect them or try to protect them at all costs. We saw how he is in competitions. I feel like he has a good lay of the land. I love the little, like again, like I said with Claire, I love the little droplets of doubt that he's putting into Kylan's mind about Tiffany. And like, I just love that. And I love the fact that he wants to include Hannah because he knows he has Hannah. He knows like even Whitney. I love that. Like Derek X, you go. I love you. I'm about to call you a stan, but I'm not that yet. But I am going to give Derek X a happily, a gleefully, a joyfully 8.
All right, an 8 for Derek X from Jacob. Yeah, I will say I was prepared to give Derek X the 8. I'm very impressed with a lot of the work that he's been doing this week. And there was a time before today where the Kings were not going to touch Hannah, and they weren't even going to try to win HOH for the most part. And they were considering not even targeting Whitney, but the problem is that the cookout is too strong, and Xavier kind of had his own idea of what was the right thing to do, which I, you know, very much disagreed with. But a lot of Derek X's plans have gone awry when it comes to the Kings. Now he is still successful with the Queens, where the Queens are still looking to target the Kings, and he has made great progress there. However, once again, because of perhaps Whitney's actions, that may also fall through. I will say that if Derek X's work this week ends up working, then I think we will see a big boost in his position and potentially rating next week. But as of right now, it looks like it's a bit of a mixed bag, but I'm still very impressed with a lot of the work that he's put in. There's a lot that I like about his game in general. His social game is really good. He handles situations and conversations in a way that I'm very impressed with. His strategic maneuvering is still a little bit lagging behind some of the other players, but I'm definitely still looking at him with a keen eye for improvement. So I'm also going with a 7 here for Derek X, which is still obviously an improvement from last week. So let's move on.
Wait, Tim, you know, you just like voided all of my major points for that man, but I'm sticking beside him.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for the future of Derek X. He just still has a long way to go before he really, comes into his own here. But definitely still very impressed with Derek X. Jacob, how do you feel about Hannah?
Oh, sweet Hannah. You gotta love her. She's real. She's authentic. She's very genuine. I feel like she can talk a little bit too much at times, just about like some of the way that she plans on like going accordingly. Even to this point, like I heard her talking today. It was kind of right before we hopped on, but she was like telling people, "Oh yeah, me and Derek X are not going to like we're going to stop using like the flirt the showman's term, like, I'm going to marry you. And almost because we don't want other people to think that, like, we are actually in a showman. I'm like, that's something you could have kept to yourself if you already think people already think you're in a showman. You don't have to say, like, oh, this is a plan to make y'all not think that we're in a showman. And so I was just like, I wish you, you know, just kind of, you know, was more quiet. Hannah is a target, as we've seen from, I mean, today. And, but Hannah is also not, she's not in like a, she hasn't really, I feel like, found her like footing and like influence in the game. And I feel like once she does have that, she doesn't have a bad grasp of the game, but I just feel like she is not on the trajectory to really do anything other than what the cookout wants. And kind of like, she does, she thinks she's like really intrinsically in the cookout when other people think like, oh, she's not. And so I just, the only person she truly has is Derek X, and that's only one person. And I feel like she tries to go out and talk to people, but the relationships don't necessarily stick like that. And so with Hannah, I'm gonna have to give Hannah a 6 for this week.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot here for Hannah. I was definitely a lot higher on her game prior to today, I guess prior to yesterday, because she is way too comfortable in the game right now for her actual position. Just yesterday, she was saying it's way too early to target the Kings, way too early to win HOH. Derek X is basically pleading with her to try to win HOH because he knows that she could be in danger, but she still refuses to. And Derek X's worst fears have come to fruition today, as now the Kings not only want to put her on the block, but actively want to target her. And she still can't see it. She still doesn't want to win HOH despite all of Derek X's pleading. And that is very frustrating to watch, as, you know, she is so capable, but she just can't see what needs to be done right now and is too timid to take that shot, it seems. And that is really going to hurt her game because she could really use an HOH right now. In addition to that, you know, unfortunately for her, the cookout, which is her greatest asset in the game, still only sees her as a peripheral member, an honorary member. And Xavier today was pushing very hard to not have Azza or Big D go on the block and instead put Hannah on the block, which is a much more precarious position for a member of the cookout than Azza or Big D, who definitely would not go home. Hannah also would likely not go home, but is much more likely to be the target and would end up putting much more strain on the cookout at large. It would do more damage to Hannah's game. In addition to all of that, just today, Whitney has now thrown Hannah under the bus and seems to indicate that she does not really want to play super long term with Hannah. I don't know how much of this was just acting, but the impact is that it's put a bigger target on Hannah's back. And if Whitney is truthful in any way, then this is also very bad for Hannah's long term prospects, as Whitney is one of the few people that she could have worked with long term. So a lot of really bad things going on for Hannah. However, unlike Christian and Alyssa, who I think are in better positions than her for a long-term game, she is unlikely to go home as early as next week because she does have that cookout support, or at least she should. So I've got her also at around a 5, where there's just a lot. There are a few players in this game right now who are just, their position is such in a flux of like vortexes, and you just don't know where it's gonna go, and they're all capable and they all have potential. Christian's great at comps, Alyssa's very smart, and Hannah's very capable and has some backing with the cookout, but they're all also in a bit of danger and have some things that are working against them. So a 5 as well here for Hannah. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I really like Hannah a lot, and I think she's very interesting to watch. I am worried for her, and I really don't want her to go home next week, or even anytime soon. I really hope she stays, but you know, it just, it seems so precarious. So I have to agree, and I have to give her a 5.
All right. Well, the audience gave
what
Hannah,
they gave her?
A 6. They agree.
Oh, with Jacob Jones. Are we best friends now?
Oh, wow.
I think we're best friends.
Oh, my God.
Worth noting, however, I think the majority of the audience likely cast their votes prior to Hannah becoming a target for next week.
Whatever.
Okay, but wait, Taryn, you made a comment.
Who cares, Taryn?
You made a comment, and you were like, she doesn't want to win HOH, and even after Derek X is like pushing her to win HOH. But Taryn, this has all happened within, like, 12 hours. And so
well, he's been trying for like 2 days.
Okay, well, we can make it 48 hours, okay? Okay, we how many, but I have faith that the talking that Derek X can do and that will do will somewhere, you know, get in that, and, you know, she will turn around. And if she doesn't, bang my head into a window. But I think she is fully capable. I think she, by the end of this week, by Thursday, I think she will be willing. And, yeah, let's go. Sixes. I love it.
All right. So there you go. A 6 for Hannah. Let's talk about Kyland. Let's see. Okay. Well, you can start with the audience here for Kyland. The audience, in a close vote here gave Kyland a 7. A 7 for Kyland. Melissa, what do you think?
I think he's doing so well. I have to give him credit. I'm very impressed with him. I honestly, I think he's in a really good position. I thought he played his HOH week really well. I have to say that at first, and see, I didn't get to talk about his week, but I thought at first I was like, uh-oh, this is not going to go well. Cause he was like, I'm going to schedule meetings and we're going to like plan meetings to schedule more meetings. And I was like, this is really not looking great. Cause you know, people don't like to be like, okay, you have a 5 minute timer and that's all you get and don't say anything further. And now we're going to time the next person. It was just like, I was a little worried for him. Cause it wasn't super flowy. It wasn't very like, hey, let's just like talk a little bit. And he didn't want to make anybody feel comfortable. He's like, I'm not going to respond to any of your questions. I'm not going to answer any of your questions. You know, I'm not going to tell you that you're safe. It was like, that doesn't make people feel good. It makes people feel a little nervous. But, you know, the fact that he was, I think it's also the person who's doing it. I think if Brent was doing something like that and was like, I'm not going to answer your questions. I'm not going to tell you if you're safe. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to talk to me. That would be very off-putting. But I think because it's Kyland, people like reacted to it in a better way than they would have otherwise. But I have to say it turned out really well. I think that, you know, I think that he's working with a lot of different people. I think he's involved in a lot of different things and I think he's smart about it. So I do think that he's doing really well. I'm very impressed with him. I'm not saying that I'm overlooking the movie thing because I'm not. That's still on my mind. So I just want to let everyone know that that's not something that I'm going to forget about anytime soon. But I am going to say that I am impressed with him and I'm going to give him an 8.
All right. Jacob Jones.
So Kyland is my friend in my head. And I Kyland is so dope. Kyland is so dope. To every point that Melissa, I don't know why I love saying your name like that. That you may, like, I feel like you literally hit the nail on the head. I feel like I was so like weary of Kylan's communication skills, specifically after his HOH, but I feel like it's working for him now. Like the way he breaks down things very slowly, specifically with him and Derek X. I feel like Tiffany is more loyal to him than he is to Tiffany. In my mind, I feel like he has so many things working for him. He is a target, but I feel as though with Brittany not like going away from nominating Kyland and when she was pissed at him, I feel like that is a testament to his social, you know, capacity. And I feel like other people also put in work for that as well. But he's so well insulated. Even in the cookout, I feel like he's in such a beautiful position in the cookout. And as many times as we have given Tiffany her 10s, 9s, 20s, and 1000s, Kyland deserves some of that respect as well. So, Taryn, I'm going to slap that thing on that thing, and I'm going to get that thing a 9!
A 9 from Jacob. A 9. Jones. And Jacob, I'm finally with you here tonight. I am very impressed with Kyland this week. I think that he did a great job last week. Part of my concern with Kyland was I don't know if this will last. I was disappointed with his gameplay in week one. I thought he made a lot of mistakes. Coming into his HOA train, he did a good job. I was like, but is this going to last? Is this going to stick? And I feel like it is stuck. And he's doing a really great job. I love his connection to Tiffany. I think that's really good for him. I love that he is managing to stay good with X, with Big D, Claire is the weakness here, for Kylan. And Alyssa and Christian are also a weakness here for
Kylan.
We can finish your sentence for Kylan.
For Kylan. I finish your sentence. I finish the sentence for you.
Yeah, we got you, Karen. Don't worry about it.
You can hear me?
Perfect.
We're good.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, so Claire is the weakness. Claire is, you know, what could have prevented him from getting a 9 to me, but I really feel like Kylan is in a really good spot. Yes, there are people who have clocked his game. Yes, there are people that are talking about taking a shot at him, but none of it is happening in the short term. And I think that that is all very good for Kylan. As long as Tiffany is with Kylan, I think Kylan will be in a great spot. If Claire ever succeeds in turning Tiffany against Kylan, that is when things will turn very sour for him. And I think the same is kind of true of Tiffany. I think they do kind of rely on each other at this point in the game. And together, they are an extremely devastating team. So I really do think that that Kylan is one to watch out for this season, and I think that he's played this week very well. I think that coming around to putting the target on the Kings was the right call for him. If he hadn't done that today, I probably would have given him the 8, because I do not think that allowing Christian and Alyssa to fester is good for him. And I think I was proven right also today when they talked about Kylan and not trusting him. But the fact that he is on board with taking that shot right now is really good for him. I think that's the right call to make. He still has Sarah Beth. He still has Xavier. He still has a lot of great pieces on the board. And I think that he is definitely somebody that we should look out for here moving forward. So a 9 from me. All right.
I'm proud of you, Taryn. I'm proud of you.
All right. Let's talk about Sarah Beth. Sarah Beth. And you know what? For me, it's like Kylan and Tiffany are the two up there. And then there are a bunch of people who are like vying for the second tier. And I think that Sarah Beth is another one of them. You know, Claire, Derek X, Sarah Beth, very good at this game. In like 2 minutes, she managed to do, you know, basically Xavier today spent about an hour and a half convincing Christian and then Alyssa to nominate Hannah next to Whitney if they won HOH. And then Sarah Beth took about 2 minutes to say, well, if Hannah's going to go up on the blog, we might as well target her. And then they were like, you know what? You're right. We should target Hannah. And then Whitney helped speed that along. But Sarah Beth did a good job there. I think that targeting Hannah is actually a great thing for her game. Obviously, anything to weaken the cookout right now would be great for Sarah Beth, because that is one of her biggest obstacles in the game. Even if Hannah doesn't end up going home, just the cookout being exposed in any degree would be useful to her game. So targeting Hannah, I think, is a good move for her, as long as it doesn't get her caught doing anything. I also gave Sarah Beth the 7. I think that she's not being targeted by anybody. I think there are a lot of good things going her way. The negatives, the reason she's not quite an 8 for me, is that she still is overly reliant on Kylan, who has way too many options. And she needs more additional allies. She's been working on the Jokers, but they are unfortunately for her not very reliable as allies. So she's going to need to really advance her position in the game beyond Kylan and the Jokers and the Kings, who are also not her most reliable allies. So if she can expand, then I think that she can really start to grow. But right now, I think she's locked in at that 7. So Melissa or Jacob Jones, how do you feel about that?
So, Taryn, everything that you said, put it in my mouth and let me regurgitate it. I agree to the 10th degree. I like Sarah Beth so much, and I feel like she has so much potential in this game. I do feel like she is relying on that one part, on that one connection that she truly and deeply does have. But again, Kylan has so many of those that Sarah Beth isn't his one. And I just want Sarah Beth to spread her wings a little bit more to get that one specifically for her. And I don't know even if that's possible with the layout of the house necessarily. She could always do it, but I just like, it's so many different relationships already formed where people are already like this, that it's going to be hard for her. But I do like the position that she's in right now. And I feel as though in her preseason, I know she was talking about how she wanted to float. I don't necessarily think she's a floater, But I think she's playing it so well and so beautifully right now. That I'm like really looking forward to when she puts it in that another gear, and you know, so I can give her, you know, maybe I'll come back like an 8, you know, one day. But I am giving her a 7. I am echoing your point on this as well.
All right, Melissa.
Same. I feel like I don't need to say it all again. I agree. I'm giving her a 7. I'm impressed with her. She's totally different than what I thought she was going to be based on preseason stuff. I thought, you know, okay, she's going to really be like a non-entity. And I really do think that she's really smart and really good strategically. And I also think she's good socially. I also thought, you know, it's funny how your opinion changes from the beginning, but I remember when she was like telling all the information to Kylan and I was like, no, what are you doing? He is the wrong ally to pick. What are you thinking? And now I'm like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yep, okay, yeah. Good thinking. So, you know, I am impressed with her, and I'm excited to see where she goes.
All right, the audience also gave Sarah Beth a 7. So that's
I thought they were going to lowball her, TBH.
Not quite. She's definitely on the lower end of the 7s. In fact, she's probably the lowest 7 of the 7s. Yes, she is, but. She did still make the 7.
I guess I didn't have faith in them.
There you go. well, do you have faith in Tiffany, Jacob Jones?
So, do I have faith in Tiffany? So, do I have faith in... Oh, Taryn, that's a good question. I love that you asked. So, Tiffany, I feel as though this week has made me and Tiffany's relationship a little bit estranged. A little bit. Because Tiffany's been playing this game really beautifully. I love the connection that she does have. I love, even when she doesn't have power, still having that influential voice in order to get what she wants to be done. And I feel like she still has that. Right? But I also, this week, just saw a lot more of, I don't know if she can necessarily, like, emotionally maneuver this game as I probably thought, in the sense of, if she's mad, I feel like it'll come out. If she's annoyed, I feel like it'll come out. And I feel like that may tip off a lot of people. People already know that Tiffany's smart. But now I'm looking at these scores, and this was, I knew I was going to run into this problem, because Kylan is a 9, right? In my mind, yes. Claire and Derek X are 8. In my mind, yes. Tiffany does much more, a little bit more than both of them two, but I feel like Kylan has her beat. So do I still give her that 9 when I may be like, you know what, Taryn, Kylan and Tiffany right here. So we're going to go back to back. Give Tiffany that 9. Give her that 9 for me.
Give her the 9. All right, Jacob Jones. Well, I'm with you again. I also gave Tiffany another 9. And I also did consider moving a little bit down on Tiffany this week. But I didn't want to, because I do feel like this happens sometimes. You know, Tiffany was kind of the player of the hour last week. And I think that a lot of people spent this week looking at her game with more scrutiny, trying to pick apart, like, oh, what could go wrong here? And I think we're like the freshness of how good she was worn off. And you sort of maybe forget about all of the things that she's doing very well. And, you know, watching her today and the way that she maneuvers around, the way that she was talking to Brittany and really just letting Brittany lead the discussion, like, oh, Brittany, but I don't know. What do I do? There's a lot, I think, that I like about Tiffany's game. I do think that she and Kylan should be at around the same level when it comes to ratings. So I gave her the 9 as well. I think that they are both two of the people who are doing the best. I think that Tiffany is in a better position to make it to the end than Kylan is, but I think that she is slightly less capable of getting to the final 2 than Kylan is, if that makes sense. I think more people are going to take Tiffany to like final 4, final 3, but she is less capable of like winning her way to the final 2, and probably has less people that are willing to take her to the final 2, whereas Kylan is more likely to get struck at like final 7, final 6, final 5. But if he makes it to the final 4, final 3, he can win his way there. Or if he's there with somebody like Sarah Beth, I think Sarah Beth may be willing to take him there, and he could probably win against somebody like her. So maybe a little bit more likely to be taken to the end as well. So I think they're pretty balanced. I think they have their own strengths and weaknesses. And I do think that they are the two players doing the best in the game right now. We may at various points throughout the season, assuming they stay on top, find that one is maybe in a slightly better position than the other. But I think it'll probably bounce back all over the place as we go. I think they're both very talented. And I think it's very exciting that they're both working together. So a 9 for me on Tiffany. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely love Tiffany. I love watching her. I think she's so fun. I think that her and Kylan, like you said, I think they're the top two right now for sure. It's so exciting to watch them. I think this week was a little rocky for Tiffany just because I do think people are kind of starting to notice her, where I think as before it was kind of like nobody noticed mm-hmm. Tiffany. And I think now it's like, okay, now I'm a little worried, not like in the short term, but I am a little worried for in the long term. Mm-hmm. I also think that the whole Azza situation was not great. It kind of put a spotlight on her and also kind of, you know, had created a strain in their relationship, which wasn't good. So I do think there's like a little bit of issues with Tiffany this week. But I do think that her and Kylan are top tier for me right now. So I'm going to give her an 8 like I did with Kylan.
All right, there you go. This was another close one, but the audience also went with an 8 for Tiffany. The audience not quite as high still on everyone here, but an 8 for Tiffany.
Yeah, chat was all saying like, Melissa, be the voice of the people, be the voice of the people, give her a 10. Well, I was the voice of the people, but I'm not giving her a 10, sorry. I know what the people want, and it's an 8, not a 10. Not yet. I'll give her a 10 at some point, hopefully.
Wait, Taryn, you said something. And anytime you say that, I'm just like, I don't really see that happening, because you said like you can see Kylan getting out a lot earlier than Tiffany. But I kind of see I don't see Kylan getting out like you said, like 8th or whatever, you know, whatever numbers you want to throw in there. I see him kind of not, you know, without any harm, but like going to the final four just right along with Tiffany with the same amount of restraint. Because, I mean, Kylan's, you know, an athletic guy. I'm trying to see any other difference between what would be the difference between Kylan not kind of getting there and Tiffany getting there.
So I think for me, it's that I've seen more people talk about. So when people talk about Tiffany, it's like, oh, she's really well liked. She's very good at this game, but I love her and I want to go to the end with her. With Kylan, it's I don't trust Kylan. I think he's really good. I need to take a shot at him. He needs to go. And I've heard that from Claire. I've heard that from Christian. And I've even heard it from Azza, not that he needs to go, but that he's, you know, running the game. People get annoyed with Tiffany sometimes, but I think Tiffany has the built-in advantage of not appearing to be as threatening in competitions as Kylan is, because she is less physical than him. That's I think going to help get her further in the game. But because Kylan is probably more capable in competitions than her, that's probably going to help propel him in the end game, assuming he gets there, which I do think he has a good chance of doing. This is all, you know, very early on to really be making those kinds of calls, but, very interested. Yeah. All right. Let's move on then to Whitney. Let's talk about Whitney. Melissa, how do you feel about Whitney?
I think it's hard because I do think that from my first week thinking about her, I'm more impressed with her than I was initially, because I do think that she is smart and I do think that she is playing a good game. But I do think that she's not in the best position. I think that I'm a little nervous for her because I do think that she would be an easy person, her and Hannah, to put up, to go home, whatever. And if it's not Hannah, it might be Whitney. If it's not Whitney, it might be Hannah. And I'm concerned about that, same as I am for Hannah. So, I think I think also that same with Hannah, it's a little concerning that she is not wanting to make a move against the Kings. Stop. And so that concerns me. I honestly don't know where she's going to go from here. That's like, it's like with Hannah, at least she has the cookout. With Whitney, I don't really know where she's going to go. So I do think I have to go a little lower than my score for Hannah. So I have to give her, I'm just going to give her a 4 because I don't know what she's going to do from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gave her a 4 as well. I think that Whitney is a capable player. I think that she probably deserves more than a 4, especially since she got one last week as well. But the problem is, again, Whitney is playing in a house of really good players, and her spot is that her back is against the wall, and she's doing decently. But she's also making some mistakes, primarily that she's not active enough. Now she is getting out there and she's finally talking to more people, and that's helping a little bit. It would be much more effective if she had been doing that a lot more prior to just now. And she does. And I'm sure there are some Whitney stans out there that'll be like, because I've gotten some like time stamped. She talked to this person at this time. But not enough, not enough. You know, these people are talking, 5 weeks of game in 5 minutes, and she's talking 1 week of game every day. like she needs to pick up the pace. I think that that's why one of the reasons why she's in the position that she's in. But again, she's no slouch in this game, and she absolutely could do some damage, if she survives next week. She just is one of the more likely boot candidates at this point. So I can't go any higher than a 4. Jacob, what do you think?
Well, let me just say, I also think that you are right in that any normal season, we'd be like, she's great. She's doing fantastic. And she's in such a good position. But I do think that there's so many good players in this house that, like, even the people who are capable players are like down near the bottom. You know what I mean? So she's not a bad player at all. I just think that there's so many people who are just like totally lapping her at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still laughing at Melissa saying, the chat saying, Melissa, give her a 10. And then she was the voice of people by giving her an 8.
Yeah, it's like, what do you guys want me to do? I'm not going to give her
people,
a 10.
Give her a 10. No, she was right.
People. All right, I'll do that, but it's not what you want.
I love that. And basically, I mean, I'm echoing y'all's point right here. I don't think, but not, you said, oh, I believe, you know, she could do more than a 4. I can't really see more than a 4, just in the current place that we're at. She is a target. I feel like she really doesn't have that many deep connections. Her and Hannah talk like some game, and kind of like have a good relationship, and she's like turning her back on Hannah, perceivably so, to the other people. And I really don't understand that as much. And so, yeah, basically what y'all were saying, echoing y'all's point, but yeah, a 4.
Yeah, and I'll say, like, she made a pretty good play today going to Alyssa and Christian. She is theoretically, again, like, perhaps without the cookout backing up Hannah, would have just saved herself for next week with the Kings. But probably will not have, because of that. But again, like, a decent attempt here from Whitney, who is currently, near the bottom of the house. So, good effort. Good hustle. She got a 4 from the audience as well. So straight 4s for Whitney once again, and she will likely remain here until she gets out of this danger zone. Finally, let's talk about Xavier. Very interested to hear thoughts on Xavier, as he is the HOH this week, and we finally got to see part of what Xavier is capable of, and I have mixed feelings on it. Xavier came into this week with basically the goal of, I want to get through this week with as little fanfare as possible. I want to come out the other end of it with as little attention as possible. And I think he's done a pretty good job of succeeding at that. But I don't know if that was the right goal for Xavier. I usually want my players to carve out a little piece of home for themselves. You know, when they look at their structure, they see home. And Xavier, I think, is relying on the cookout a little too much. He is one of the more dedicated players to it, and not everyone is as dedicated as him, and that could be a problem for him. I would have liked him to be a little bit more active during this HOH, but I do say again, I think that his lying low was very effective. Now, I have a problem with how he handled today, because he was a little bit more active in trying to shift the target for the Kings, but I think he made a crucial error, as he, again, spent about an hour and a half convincing Christian and Alyssa to go for the HOH, which they hadn't really been planning on doing, and then once they did win the HOH, don't put up, Whitney and one of the Jokers. You should put up Whitney and Hannah. And again, he is going to explain it, and it's, you can see the motivation. He was trying to prevent them from putting up Whitney and Big D or Whitney and Azza, which Alyssa had talked about doing before. But the problem here for me is that I think it was short-sighted. Hannah is in much more danger on the block next to Whitney than a Joker is. Nobody is going to be able to justify targeting a Joker over Whitney if Whitney stays on the block. And if Whitney comes off of the block, then you can then make the pitch that Brittany is the biggest Joker threat and that Brittany should go home as the replacement, right? But with Hannah on the block next to Whitney, you first of all leave the door open for the target to shift to Hannah, which it did immediately. And then if Whitney wins the veto, they're not looking for a new target. They're looking for a new pawn. And guess who's the person who is the least likely person to be used as a pawn next week? Brittany. Because that would freak her out again. And why would you bother doing that when you have a perfectly good Azza or a perfectly good Big D sitting right next to her? And now all of a sudden you may have a scenario where Hannah and Azza or Big D are on the block next to each other. And that is worst case scenario for the cookout, because now you're forced to vote out one of your own members. And even if that doesn't happen, if the Kings remain on wanting to target Hannah over Whitney, the cookout may have to expose themselves or at the very least damage some of their relationships by forcefully pushing the vote to save Hannah against the will of some of their allies. And that's also not a good place to be. And because of that, it really made me wonder, like, what is Xavier thinking? And again, I know what he's thinking. He's thinking that he's protecting Azza and Big D, but I don't think he was looking at the big picture. And I think that it immediately blew up in his face when Alyssa comes up to him an hour later saying, yeah, we definitely have to target Hannah. And he's like, no! And he's blaming SB for it. And like, I get it. SB made it happen, sure. But like, dude, you did this. They weren't even looking at Hannah an hour ago. You made them look at Hannah. What are you doing? Anyway, so that frustrated me. And that kind of told me, like, I'm not sure how much Xavier is going to be capable of this sort of like, when he does get into action, is he going to make the right calls? Because I really don't think that was the right call. Now, players make mistakes all the time. Kylan himself, I think, was making a big mistake by, not wanting the Kings to be targeted for a while. But he eventually corrected. And I think Xavier will be here for a while. And I think that he still has a great mind for the game. I love watching him talk to the cameras when he was frustrated. It was hilarious. I'm still just trying to figure out what Xavier is capable of. This week told me that he's still great at lying low. It didn't tell me anything else about his capability as a player. So ultimately, I'm going to stay at a 6 for Xavier, because I would love to move up to a 7, but I don't think he's quite on the same level as Derek X and Sarah Beth and Claire right now. I think that he's still in this sort of like slightly lower echelon of player, and I still think he's capable of doing more, but I just still haven't seen it. So, Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm on the same page. I really love Xavier, and I think he's so fun to watch, especially when he's talking to the cameras. Him and Tiffany, I love them. But I think you're right in that I can't necessarily put him on the same, plane as Derek X and Claire, or Sarah Beth. So I think that, he did fine with his HOH. I think he, did decent and he did what he had to do, but I don't think that he really did the most with it that he could have. And so I don't think he's in the best position in the house. I think he's in a fine position, a decent position. I think he's doing well, but I don't think I'm overly impressed with his position coming out of this week. So, we'll just have to see. But yeah, at this point, I'm going to give him a 6.
All right, Jacob.
I know that y'all couldn't put him at the, you know, the seven because y'all put Claire and Derek X at the seven. But I didn't put them at a seven because I know their actual worth. I put them at an eight, so I can go up. And I'm going to give Xavier a seven on this. We saw him be, you know, he was so passive the last 2 weeks. And I would honestly even say to this point, he put up, you know, people that the house wanted him to put up. I mean, he really didn't make any, he didn't deepen his connections by being HOH with really anybody, I feel like. And that's something that I would have loved to see more of, for him just to use the power that he had to build those connections. I did really like, I feel like once Xavier kind of makes the decision, he's on that decision. And I feel like Xavier knows the people that are working with him and the people that are expendable. Because I feel like even I can say for Whitney, I really like that he didn't put her up, them having the relationship that they do have. And so that kind of gave me a little bit of, okay, like I see how you're moving, Xavier. It didn't paint me a clear picture at all. It was just a little like, you know, straps on a whiteboard or whatever. But I can't put him at an eight. Again, like y'all said, I can't put him at the same level that I did Claire and Derek X. But I do think he will be okay. And I do think he could play the game much more. And I have a little bit of faith in him going forward. I do think in the realm of the cookout, he is sitting really nicely in that, and kind of having a middle role with that, kind of, you know, Tiffany and Kylan and then Azza and Derek F. And I feel like he could be sitting in the middle with that. And no one is actively going after him. I really haven't heard anyone say, oh, I think we should watch out for Xavier. But he hasn't also gave them any reason to say that. And so, yeah, I'm going to give Xavier a seven.
All right. Well, the audience gave Xavier a six.
Of course.
Yeah. all right. There's our ratings for the week. Very interesting. And yet again, you know, an interesting layout here. Obviously, we've got a few players in the negative, a few that are neutral, and then a few in the positive. And it's a very balanced game right now. And really, again, even these players that are like neutral to negative, I do think like the only reason they're in that spot is because the other players are so much, you know, so good that like again, many of these people are like, they could be a six, they could be a seven, but their position has lowered them. Definitely curious to see where all of these players land at the end of the season, because I really do think this is one of the higher tier casts strategically that we've seen. Very, very interested in seeing this season play out. So let's move on. Let's talk through some of the other questions here on the survey. And we'll start with, I asked the audience to rank the players from their favorite to their least favorite. And, I'm going to go through, I'm going to have you guys guess the top four and the bottom four players. And, we'll see who's better at guessing, what the audience thinks in terms of their favorite players. So, Jacob, Melissa, who is the number one fan favorite from the audience?
Tiffany. I think I'm going to go with Tiffany. Yeah.
You are both correct. Who's number two?
Derek X.
Whoa.
Jacob Jones is correct. Melissa is wrong. It's Derek
Kylan's
X.
Next.
Number three.
Kylan, yeah.
You are both incorrect.
Who does beat in?
Claire is number three.
I mean, I can see it, but not that much.
Then Kylan.
All right, number four.
Kylan?
You're both correct. It is Kylan at number four. So Jacob leading Melissa by 1 point.
No, I'm winning.
No,
Melissa.
I got one of them. I got one of them, right?
You got two wrong and he got one wrong.
Yes.
What?
What are you, Brittany? Come on.
It's biased against me. This is not fair.
You don't deserve this.
I deserve to win this one.
Oh my God.
All right.
I wasn't here for the past 7 days, Taryn. I wasn't on the last round table, and I deserve this one, okay?
All right. Who is the audience's least favorite player? Bottom of the list.
Brent,
yeah.
You're both correct.
Nice.
Who is their second least favorite player?
I'm going to say Whitney. Oh.
Melissa?
Final answers.
Wait, Brittany. Wait, Melissa? Who did I say? I said Whitney. I want to change it. I want to say Brittany.
Jacob is correct. It's Brittany.
Great. Well, then I say Alyssa then.
That's how we do it.
Third to last. Third to last.
I say Big D.
Alyssa.
Jacob Jones with the pulse on the finger of the on the finger.
Am I the new voice of the audience?
The pulse on the finger. Wow, Jacob, you got the pulse on the finger.
Big D, third to last, is correct. And then finally, fourth to last.
Does this even matter? Alyssa.
It's impossible for Melissa to win at this point, but go for it, Jacob.
It's Alyssa. Come on now.
You are both incorrect.
Whitney?
It's Whitney.
Oh, it's Whitney. I forgot about Whitney. Yeah, okay. Wow. I'm the pulse of the people.
Yeah, I need to start getting my pulse on that finger.
Get the pulse on the finger
the
already.
Points on the finger.
all right, so it goes Tiffany, Derek X, Claire, Kyland, Sarah Beth, Hannah, Xavier, Alyssa, Aza, Christian, Whitney, Derek F, Brittany, and then Brent. So yeah, interesting. Alyssa, just about halfway up there, even above Aza. Which was a little bit surprising given some of the discourse that I've seen about Alyssa online.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking is I've just seen so much negativity. So I was just like, oh, well, she's got to be down there.
I
don't mind her, but you know. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I had the audience rate the episodes this week. And last week, they were a 6.9. In week one, they were a 6.6. This week, a 7.0.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
made it to the seven.
Wait, is it to like 100% or something?
Out of 10.
I was about to say, damn, that's a long way to go. Okay.
So then the feeds in week one were an 8.4. Week two were a 6.9. This week, a 7.4. People like, I feel like the feeds. Not quite like Frenchie levels, but not very quite good. Yeah. And then I asked them to rate the season as a whole so far. Interestingly, it started at an 8 in week one. Moved up to an 8.1 in week two, and here in week three, the season as a whole, an 8.3. So it's still on the rise here, season as a whole, very high. I also asked the audience to rate the competitions this week. How did you feel about the competitions? In week one and two, it was a 6.8 and 6.6, respectively. But here in week three, a 7.3. People enjoyed the competitions more this week, and I have to say,
I agree. Yeah. I agree too. I love the pettiness too.
Competitions ever, unless something behind it. Like unless there's some sort of like I don't know. I feel like you know they're never gonna compete with what's that hot box one? I don't remember what it's called.
It's not a hot box. Not the hot box.
My mind is blank. Pressure cooker.
Okay. Well,
Melissa said the hot box.
Things in hot boxes. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. An oven.
all right. So I asked them to rate the team twist. The team twist has been growing on the audience. Yeah. It started at a 5.7. Last week was a 6.3. This week, the team twist got a 7.4.
Nice. It's so growing on me too.
Very much on the rise. And then the wild card. Twist this week was given a 6.5, still a bit lower than the rest of what's going on here, but higher than it was the previous week here. Although I think they're kind of probably factoring in the competition. I did say wildcard competition twist, which is probably a little confusing. I mostly meant the decision that they had to make, but it's fine. I asked, who is the best person for Xavier to target this week for his game? And 80% said Brent was the correct decision. 13% said Brittany would have been the right call, but I think Brent is the right call here.
Same. Yeah.
I then asked, this is the, would you agree with Aza or Tiffany? I already said about 96% said they agreed.
That's
with Xavier, Tiffany, and Derek X. I asked, who do you want to be evicted this week? And interestingly, 78% said Brent, 22% said said Brittany.
I'm not surprised at that, especially like I when I was going into that question, I was like, oh, I think it's going to be like 97, but I could also understand the 22% TBH.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, who do you want to win HOH next week? I'm actually curious to see if you guys have a guess on this one. Who do you think the audience wants to win HOH this week?
Oh. I want Hannah to, but I don't know if she's going to try to, but that's who I want to.
Yeah, I kind of want like Derek X or something.
Hannah is the number one pick from the audience.
The pulse is on the finger.
The pulse is on the finger.
The finger of the people.
You just had to go there, Melissa.
The finger of, I love it. I love that name. Oh my gosh. The finger of the, okay, I'm with it. The finger of the people.
I've got this, guys. Don't worry, I'm sensing it.
All right. Number one, Hannah. Number two, Whitney.
Whitney, I was about to say.
Whitney. Number three, Derek X. Basically, they want the Aces to win. That is what they want. And then the next four with any percentage points here are Claire, Azza, Brittany, and Sarah Beth. Some interesting ones there. But the bulk here is this is about making up about 54% of the vote. Is all three of the Aces together. So
I just have to say, chat's just like, no, I'm traumatized. The finger of the people. They're like, Puya's the nipple king and Jacob Jones is the finger of the people. Wow.
We need to keep them away from each other.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
All right. Wow. I think we've reached the tipping point on this episode of the round table.
Yeah, I feel like we've reached
I think we're good.
We reached it. The figure of the people. I was thinking it a little bit. I'm glad you said it.
He's like, I've always thought. I'm so glad someone's put words to this.
Yeah, I'd always fantasized about it, and now it's happening. As we wrap up here, Melissa, any final thoughts on the week? Oh yeah, the leaderboard. I forgot about the leaderboard.
I don't even show up.
Can you show this? Okay.
This is a good segue. You know how I could forget about going over the leaderboard? In the same way that I also forgot to do anything with socks this week.
Did you really? Oh my god. Okay, I don't feel so alone.
Wait, I think I remembered.
I think Jacob's probably winning. Out of the three of us.
I can tell you that I intended to buy Kyland, which I do believe turned out to be the biggest gain of the week, but I ended up doing nothing. And can you blame me? I still have no stuff. All right.
Yes, we can. We can blame you, Taryn. We can.
Can you blame me? I see. You know what, Taryn? I think we need to show him some compassion. We need to show Taryn some compassion because, you know, it's such an easy thing. Anybody could forget stuff with their stock. And, you know, it all makes sense. And no worries, Taryn, right? And so if someone else were to forget to do it as well, we would say the same thing. I would hope that you would extend such same courtesy to
Melissa, what did you do?
Whoever might have not done something with their
stock. What did you do this week, Melissa?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Yes.
But didn't you do nothing last week, too?
Yes, that is true.
No, Melissa, are you even on the board at all yet?
You know, I think I learned from last season where the people were winning who didn't do anything. And I think, you know, maybe I was just trying out a new tactic or whatever. Also, Melissa Bot was the one to call me out on it. Melissa Bot's like, wait, where's, like, a little gif or something. I was like, where's Melissa on the stock leaderboard? I don't know where she is. I was like, you shush, bot. You shush. Don't call me out like this.
So Melissa has $0 right now. This is unbelievable, Melissa. I have no sympathy for you.
Oh, yeah. It's not great. It's real bad. I'm going to join. I'm going to do it. It has been one forgetful day after another. So I apologize. And I always remember when it's too late. It's like always right when the episode is airing. And I'm like, oh, never mind.
Never mind.
All right. Well, it looks like I have fallen here to 241st place.
No, no.
So there you go. Let's check out Jacob Jones. Jacob, what did you do this week?
I don't remember. I just know it was all special.
Let's find out. Wow, there are a lot of Jacobs here. Jacob Jones. You had a couple of Azza. You had a Christian. You had a few Claires.
Okay.
You had a couple of Derek X's. A couple of Hannah's. Three Kylan's. Two Sarah Beth's. Seven Tiffany's. And four Xavier. Wow, you basically have everyone.
You really diversified. I think he's learning from my strategy, or my usual strategy.
Your portfolio.
Because it won, you know, last time. So, you know,
what place am I in?
Technically a winning strategy.
Jacob Jones in 1680th place.
So I'm beating you.
No.
Oh.
No.
No.
He's in 200th place.
Oh,
so.
Never
You're in
mind.
The top 50%. I'm in the top 10%.
Oh,
Yeah, well, you know, and to be fair, like, since I'm not on the board, I'm technically not losing.
No, you are. You are.
Like, technically, I am not lower than you.
Technically, you are losing more than anyone else at all.
I don't know if I'd say it that way.
You couldn't be losing more.
If you really think that, though?
You could possibly be losing more.
I do think that, like, you know, I mean, technically, I'm not in the bottom or not anywhere.
In that.
So, like, really, I'm winning.
Going, though.
I could be in first place, but like, I'm just like not anywhere. So, right?
Okay.
No. It works that way. Yeah.
The finger of the people says no.
It's kind of like if you're not competing in the Olympics, you're just worse than the people who are competing in the Olympics. You know what I mean? Like, even the last place Olympian is still an Olympian.
Are you saying you're an Olympian now?
I'm saying that everyone who plays in the Stockwatch is an Olympian.
Yes.
let's make this campaign happen. 2024 Olympics, wherever they're gonna be, add the Stockwatch to the roster.
All right. Yeah, it's the next skateboarding and
I'm game for it.
Surfing.
Not watching.
I will not be competing in that one. I do not even like I mean even though I won once, I think that was a fluke. if we talk about like all the times I've competed in Stockwatch, that is the one time I've gotten in the top 50% or top 25% even.
That's funny.
So yeah. It's not really my event, clearly.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what we have for you. Melissa, any final thoughts here on the week as we wrap up?
Just that I'm glad that the season is going in the direction that it is. And I feel like that's the first time I've ever said that. So, you know, overall, very exciting. I love all the people who are playing. I'm so excited to watch what they do. I think we have a really, really good cast. They all are there to play. They all are really smart. And I think, you know, even the people who didn't necessarily know the game coming in, like Derek X, like it's been really fun to watch him figure it out because he's so smart and he's so good and he's strategic. And the whole thing is very, 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 very fun. So, yeah, very glad I'm back to talk about it this week.
All right, Jacob, any final thoughts?
I am so excited for next HOH because there's so many moving parts. Specifically right now, and I'm just like, I don't know what's going to happen. And I love that. I love the chaotic energy of it. I love that a lot of names are being thrown out there. And it's not just one, you know, one house decision for like the next week, which I really like. I've had a complete blast with y'all tonight. And so it's been so much fun. And so, yeah, I'm just excited and hopeful. And I'm hopeful that Azza will pick it up too, and that she won't be, you know, given a 3 like she was this week, and she'll be probably given a 6 or a 5. Five.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's what we have for you this week. Thank you so much for joining us. What a fun week of Big Brother. I'm so happy that that we're here, and I think we should really make sure that we do our best to enjoy it while we have it and appreciate what we've got. And remember, everyone, be the good.
I felt like that is where you were going. I don't know. Your voice started to like soften a little bit, and it started to be like that more like I
think somebody on Reddit caught this, that the two evicted house guests so far have both gone home with a Julie Chen Faith sweatshirt that she's apparently handing out swag on your way out the door of Big Brother. So
wow.
If you're interested in getting some free Julie Chen merchandise. Just get on the show and go get voted out.
Just for that.
All right. That's what we have for you. Thank you guys so much for joining us here. You can, of course, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I will be live on Thursday to talk through the Stockwatch. If you have any questions or you're looking for a rundown of what your choices are and stuff like that, we have a lot of fun doing that over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Or you can find me on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. That's where I tweet out the survey. If you're looking to fill it out, I tweet it out weekly on Tuesday mornings after the update. Of course, I'll also be back tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update you on everything that happened today. And boy, will that be an interesting update. And then tomorrow, live on Twitch, watching the episode, a recap afterward, plenty of Big Brother coverage coming your way. Jacob Jones, where can people find you?
People can find me at JacobJ_Jones. I am the newly crowned finger of the people. So come get all of that. And wait, Taryn, also when you and Robin did y'all's interview and Frenchie said that he would have voted you out early, I died. If like you were there, I loved it. I was like,
that's the thing is too. I was literally the night before on Twitch. Somebody's like, say you had been on the cast, how do you think you would have done? Who would you have aligned with? And I said, I think Frenchie would have targeted me. And that's why I asked him that question. He was like, yeah, probably. I was like, I knew it.
Literally. And he was the first HOA too, so you would have been in deep trouble.
Well, Jacob, all I would have needed to do is go to him and say,
cheat like Brent did.
I really, as a podcaster, people just judge me so quickly. No, you're right.
Yeah, you don't want to be judged like that. Yeah,
yeah, you know.
That's so funny. That it's funny that he saw the rumor. I think that's right.
I'm curious as to how he saw that, because I feel like it didn't get out there until like.
Well, yeah, because that
right
was,
around the time they were sequestered.
Right, that was like the reason why people were saying it was because, like you said, you were moving and you weren't on any social media like on the date that they were sequestering people. So it's interesting. I wonder if you like. Saw it. I wonder if they like didn't sequester them until like the afternoon or something, and maybe he like was on during the morning. I don't know. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Wild. All right. Melissa, where can people find you?
You can find me on all social media at It's Melissa with 3 A's.
All right.
That's that.
There you go.
That's such a dope name. I love that name.
I love that you love it.
Melissa.
Melissa.
I miss saying it.
I know.
I want to start doing it again.
You should start doing that again. I don't need to say it. I don't care.
All right. I'll just speak for you next time. And I have your explicit permission to do so.
That's true. Yeah. Cause you're going to get comments that are like, Taryn, Melissa can say her own handle. Thank you very much. And it's like, no. Yeah. Also, I'm glad you like the handle so much. Cause Rob told me to change it when I first joined.
I remember.
He was like, it's too complicated. Really? And I was like, okay, I'll change it. And then I didn't. I just forgot. I was like, whoops.
You were like, with 3 A's.
Yeah.
That's okay, that's what we have for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight.
Yeah, we'll just talk forever.
We will see all of you next time.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.